Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
It's Tuesday. It's April 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Governor Tom Wolf said on Monday that a statewide stay-at-home order will remain in effect until at least May 8th, but some restrictions are being eased. During a news conference, Wolf said that some limited construction in the state will be allowed to resume on May 8th with guidelines for social distancing. More businesses and regions could be allowed to reopen then, but he said standards for reopening the state will be guided by a data-driven and regional approach. Curbside pickup for liquor sales is underway. That started yesterday. We talked about that. And he also said that the auto sales can resume online. So the curbside pickup for liquor stores will allow officials to observe how limiting person-to-person contact can lead to curbside pickup for other industries.
Kathy, is it possible they can combine both auto sales and liquor sales so that when you purchase the car, it's full of liquor?
Yeah, that's not the best idea.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to... You know, combine things to expedite.
I mean, you do like to celebrate when you get a new car.
I think so. I think a case of booze in the back seat might not hurt. Right.
By the way, Marissa and I have continued our bartering. She brought me some more booze today.
Oh, it's really like the olden days.
I'm surprised that she's giving up her hard liquor.
It's stuff that she doesn't consume. She brought me Cointreau.
Okay.
My other ingredient for my secret margarita. It's not secret. This is what I had in my margaritas. But that's one little ingredient that was running low. So it's a liqueur, and she probably doesn't drink it that often. So
and what are you giving her?
I'm going to get her some more wine.
More wine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I just didn't know she was bringing that in, so I'll make good on it.
Ask your wife if she has any more of that delicious champagne. I'll take that. I'll give you whatever I have.
Homemade champagne?
I think I got a few bottles of champagne.
Yeah, okay. Send me pictures.
We might have some stuff. I'll check because there's stuff. Okay. We talked about those bottles that kind of, you just see them all the time that no one's ever using. So I'll say we have. And if it looks like something that you might like, I'll apprise you of it.
I got some edibles. You want any of those?
Dude. Oh, hell yes.
I got snacks.
Okay. Because I need wine.
I'll give you wine. I'll give Kathy. What are you going to give me, Kathy, for the champagne? We got to work on that.
Let me go through because we don't drink any hard liquor at all. Well, tequila. We will do margaritas, but no vodka or anything like that. So and I'm pretty sure, honestly, there might be some bourbon because we would never touch that. So I'll see what I have.
There you go,
Steve. I'll drop my cats off at your house for champagne.
Oh, absolutely, sure.
All right, so the governor pointed out that there is no vaccine, no cure, and no antibody test, so most restrictions and the stay-at-home order cannot be relaxed at this time. Obviously, there are many business owners that are disappointed by the governor's latest update. Now, protesters gathered outside of the state capitol on Monday to demand that Governor Tom Wolf reopen Pennsylvania's economy, even as new social distancing mandates designed to counter the new virus took effect at stores and other commercial buildings. The governor will sign a bill later today that approves qualified Pennsylvania notaries to perform remote online notarizations, which would allow auto dealerships to conduct limited car sales and leasing operations through online sales.
Well, how do the car vending machines where you purchase your car?
Oh.
Isn't that already in place? Can't you fully purchase a car?
If that was open, you could do that then.
Yeah,
technically,
I mean, right? isn't that
Carvana or something?
Carvana, isn't that the whole purpose?
I thought it was open.
Yeah, and that's it.
Auto dealerships may continue to remain open for repairs to passenger and commercial vehicles and sales for auto parts, but in-person car sales or leases are still considered non-life sustaining and remain prohibited at this time. Public and private residential and non-residential construction may resume statewide starting Friday, May 8th, in accordance with the safety guidance that will be issued by the administration. Construction projects already deemed life sustaining may continue while adhering to social distancing, personal limits, and other guidance as announced by the administration. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania reported 92 additional coronavirus deaths and 948 additional cases on Monday. That brings the statewide death toll to over 1,200. A total of 33,232 COVID cases have been reported. Skin rashes emerge as possible symptoms of COVID-19. Dermatologists say that was new that we heard yesterday. And there are 129,720 patients who have tested negative to date. Of the patients, the most common age group is 25 to 49.
I think as they start wheeling out these things, the hypochondriacal, occasionally the hair on the back of your neck will stand up, but you might, all these things they start to wheel out and people are going, wait a second, I have a rash.
Right.
So,
the skin rash that they're talking about is actually forming on people's feet. So it's
is
pretty...
It?
Yeah, it's like specific as to where, and it like breaks open. It's really gross.
Does it look like athlete's foot?
They said it can look a little bit like frostbite, Steve.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, I mean, it ranges.
Frostbite.
It ranges in what it can look like, but they were comparing it, the look of it, to frostbite. President Donald Trump said he will sign an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration to the United States during the COVID-19 outbreak. On Monday evening, he said in a tweet, in light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States. Trump has taken credit for his restrictions on travel to the United States from China and hard-hit European cities. Countries, arguing it contributed to slowing the spread of the virus in the United States, but he has yet to extend those restrictions to other nations now experiencing virus outbreaks. Due to the pandemic, almost all visa processing by the State Department, including immigration visas, has been suspended for weeks. More than 750,000 Americans have come down with COVID-19, with more than 42,000 that have died. Shake Shack, one of the several large restaurant chains that got federal loans through the coronavirus stimulus law meant to help small businesses, said that it will be giving all $10 million back. The New York-based burger company is among more than a dozen companies with annual revenues in the hundreds of millions that are reported to have received money from the Paycheck Protection Program, or the PPP. The loan program set aside $349 billion in the stimulus law, which calls the CARES Act, to help small businesses keep their workers on the payroll. Less than 2 weeks after it started, the program has already run out of money. In a statement on LinkedIn, Danny Meyer, Shake Shack's founder and CEO of its parent company, Union Square Hospitality Group, and Randy Garuti, Shake Shack's CEO, said the company pursued the loan because the law stipulated that it was open to any restaurant location with no more than 500 employees, which describes Shake Shack's 189 individual U.S. restaurants. The PPP came with no user manual, and it was extremely confusing, they wrote. The program offered to forgive the loans if recipients rehired, furloughed, and laid off workers by June. And because Shake Shack and its parent company had already furloughed hundreds of employees, they said they gambled that the best chance to keep our teams working off the unemployment line and hiring back our furloughed and laid off employees would be to apply now and hope things would be clarified in time.
How much money did they give back, Kathy?
$10 million.
Oh. $10 million.
He's checking.
$10 million.
That was $10 million. $10 million. Boy, I could sure go for a shake right about now.
It's pretty cool, though, that they gave it back.
Oh, they're really good.
But they said that they had no idea the fund would dry up so quickly. So after they were able to secure separate funding.
10 years, man. 10.
Last week.
10 years, man. 10.
We've decided to immediately return the entire $10 million so that restaurants that need it most can get it now. They said that until every restaurant that needs it has had the same opportunity to receive assistance, they're returning the $10 million. In sports this morning. The 32 general managers of the NFL have come together to raise money for the NFL's draft-a-thon fundraiser, and the organizer was Howie Roseman of the Eagles. Roseman organized his peers and NFL head coaches to donate $1,000 per draft pick to the NFL fundraiser, which is raising money for several groups fighting COVID-19. As of last night, all 32 GMs have agreed to participate in the donation program, and most head coaches were as well. By the time the draft starts on Thursday, all 32 head coaches are expected to sign up to participate, too. Batmaker Louisville Slugger has closed its factory and furloughed the majority of its workforce because of the coronavirus shutdown. CEO John Hellerich told the Louisville Courier Journal, we're not doing any advertising. We've cut all of our expenses we can. We're just hoping we can get back to normal before we run out of cash. Mm. The parent company has furloughed 171 people and closed its museum. They've been making bats since the late 1800s. And its relationship with Major League Baseball goes back to 1905, when Pirates Hall of Famer Honus Wagner signed a deal to produce a bat with his name on it. Novak Djokovic faces a dilemma if he becomes mandatory for players to get vaccinated before they can begin competing once the tennis season resumes following the hiatus created by the pandemic. In a live Facebook chat, he said, "Personally, I'm opposed to vaccination, and I wouldn't want to be forced by someone to take a vaccine in order to be able to travel. But it becomes compulsory. What will happen? I will have to make a decision. Hypothetically, if the season was to resume in July, August, or September, though unlikely, I understand that a vaccine will become a requirement straight after we are out of strict quarantine, and there is no vaccine yet." And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. It's interesting, Kathy mentioned something that gave me a little glimpse of normalcy yesterday on my way home.
Right.
At on 76 at the Blue Route, saw traffic for as far as the eye could see.
Oh, wow. Really?
And I'm like, the good old days. Bumper to bumper traffic.
My old friend.
Yeah, there you are.
There you are, my old friend.
Fortunately, it was in the other direction and I wasn't sitting in it. But
yeah, that's that construction they've been doing since Friday. They've had it closed from Friday morning until 2 o'clock today. It's been backing up pretty early.
It looks like they're doing some kind of bridge repair or something like that. So it's going to be a lot of work for a little bit. But now's the time to do it, I guess.
Yeah, why not?
But I saw backed up traffic. First time I've seen that in over a month.
I was driving around on Friday evening. I was going out to Carrabba's to get takeout. And I called my wife because I'm like, it looks like any standard Sunday morning at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm. This is Friday rush hour. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It blows your mind. Nothing.
Well, we welcome you to a Tuesday. And like I said, we got some pretty intense weather coming up later on this afternoon. So heads up if you do have to get out and get moving. If you want to get outside and get in your daily exercise, you want to have that happen before 10, 11 a.m., something like that, because we got some thunderstorms with some pretty heavy activity on the way. But we do have some things planned for this morning's program. We will have, as far as guests go, actor Ed Begley Jr. on, and he is reminding us that Earth Day is tomorrow, so to observe that while you're hanging out at the house. We also have two opportunities for you to win $500. We had a very excited winner yesterday. Let's add you to our growing list of people who are walking away with 500 extra bucks in their pocket, MMR's Rock Refund. And we have two shots alone on the Preston and Steve Show, 8 and 10 a.m. Pierre's got a couple of shots, so does Jackson, and then Jackie Bam Bam with one at 8 o'clock. And we had a successful run yesterday of day number one of Isolation Idol.
Yeah.
Hearing the musical talents of people in our area. And we had two finalists from yesterday, both singers, Nicole and Kira. Totally, completely different stories and different approaches on what they did. And they both sounded fantastic. We had six great performers all together, but we had to narrow it down to two. And they're the ones that walk away and they get the golden ticket to head to Friday for the finals, where we'll have eight performances live on the air. You'll need to listen because we're going to call on you to vote and let us know who should win the Isolation Idol. First time we've ever done anything like this, $500.
It took a pandemic to get us interested in talent shows.
It did.
And now I'm in. I'm all in. Yeah.
I'm in all the way as well. So we will get to round two today in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
A little bit after 8 a.m. So make sure that you are with us and that you listen. I understand. I don't think we're allowed to. We were able to post the videos online. Yeah. We're not, unfortunately, legally allowed to do that. It has to do with copyright and material that people are covering. So
let's just
flout
the
law. Now you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to tune in to catch the performances. So we hope that you will do that very thing. So around 8 o'clock, 8:15 or so, we're going to get to that. So make sure you stick with us through the course of the morning program. We have a lot of entertainment stories we're going to roll out when we get back, as well as stupid questions with some stuff to give away. Do not stray too far this morning. We'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And good evening, friends.
Well, that for?
In general.
Ah, okay.
I haven't played that in a long time.
Yeah. So we have a stupid question this morning. We have a digital movie spree sampler pack of 10 movies, and that does include Benji and Gone in 60 Seconds, the two classics that go great together. And we're going to give that away. If you can answer this stupid question, in the children's book Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, there are, at the famous tea party, who besides Alice were the three characters at the table? I didn't know this. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. So besides Alice, who were the three characters at the tea table? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now.
I used to have a book as a kid, a storybook that my dad would read to me occasionally when I was 18. And it was it had that tea party scene on the cover of the book.
Yeah. Let's see whose birthdays are being celebrated today while we're waiting for your answer. Today is Tuesday, April 21st. It's Iggy Pop's birthday.
Iggy.
Today. Yep. There was a meme floating around yesterday. It was a picture of Iggy Pop. Did you see it?
I did not, but no. I can only imagine.
It was him with the long hair, and obviously you know how wrinkled up his face is and everything. And it said Jennifer Aniston after the quarantine.
That's great. That is great.
It looked pretty funny.
So is he shirtless but wearing a mask?
It was only
during the quarantine.
No, well, I don't know. Probably, probably. That's his thing. No shirt.
I love that Jennifer Aniston. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he's 73 today. Steve, one of Cobra's favorites, Robert Smith from The Cure. It's his birthday today. Robert Smith is
The Cure
is celebrating his 62nd birthday. Casey
whenever
had.
Whenever I'm alone with you.
Casey.
Beep, what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm prattling on. I get this way during a pandemic.
Casey had me watch the movie Sing Street, which is
this love it.
Sweet Irish film about music in the 1980s and a high school group. And, The main character's older brother was talking about the type of music that his band wanted to play, and he was talking about the emotions that he wanted to convey, and he goes, you need Happy Sad.
And
then he played him The Cure, and I'm like, Happy Sad is the perfect way to describe The Cure.
What song was it? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember the one that he played for him particularly in that scene, but
it might have been this one, actually.
Happy Sad. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I've seen them five, six times in concert. Always great.
I never gave them a chance, and I blame it on the fans. Because
the
of
the gothy-looking nature
of
them.
Way they look. Yeah. I had no idea what they sounded like. I just assumed by the way their fans dressed that it was a sound that I didn't like. And it wasn't until, like, 3 or 4 years ago that I had listened to Disintegration for the first time.
Yeah, but they attracted a wide audience. I mean, I'm a wealthy businessman who eats round pancakes, and I still go.
I was a naysayer when they were current, when they were first coming up. And then I heard a couple of songs. I'm like, you know, this is really good. Like Pictures of You.
Pictures of You is a great song.
So many great tunes. Boys Don't Cry and Love Cats. And there's a lot of really good stuff there.
Boys Don't Cry is a I love that song.
They did an album, Casey, that it was called All Mixed Up. So they took their own songs and did new versions of them.
Oh.
And that's great. All their takes on their own stuff. Excellent.
Yeah. So happy birthday, Robert Smith. Great musician. He's 62 years
Thank
old.
Thank you very much. Is my lipstick on right?
It looks.
I don't want it looking right. It's smeared up.
It's just slightly smeared.
All right. Kiss me very hard.
Okay. What?
You can also just use your finger, I guess.
Okay. He's 62. James McAvoy.
So good.
Birthday today. Yeah, he's awesome. He loves the Philly area. Is from what I guess he's still with that gal, Kathy. Do you have any idea who was from Philadelphia? Worked with M. Night Shyamalan. I'm guessing
yes.
so. Let's
yes,
say yes.
I believe that they are.
Okay. I would love to get him in here. I mean, we've had near misses.
Yeah. Have hung out with him before at the Shamoween, but just haven't had him on the air. But he's great. He's one of the best. He's 41 years old today. Tony Romo, football player.
And owner of the pizza chain.
40 years old today. That's Tony Roni's. Sandwich.
I like good Tony analyst, though.
Yeah, he's a great analyst. And it pains, I think, a lot of Philadelphia Eagles fans to say that. But, like, the dude is spot on. I mean, he is. He's basically a fortune teller when it comes to, like, plays.
Oh, you think so? His prognostication skills?
As the offense and defense are lining up before the snap,
yeah.
He will say, all right, take a look at, you know, take a look at the tight end right now. Like, you know, he's going to be wide open because it's, you know, single man, blah, 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 blah. And then sure enough, the pass goes right to that guy. And I guess as, you know, as a quarterback, you have to be able to do that.
To read the field?
To read the field and try to read the defense, because the defense is all about deception, right?
Does he stand to make, because he's a hot commodity, he probably stands to make more in the broadcast booth than he would on the field, right?
Can't remember. Somebody pulled the information.
There's a super deal in the works for him.
I think he already signed it. I think he signed like a $100 million deal or some nonsense.
And on top of it all, he is an outstanding golfer.
Yeah. Is he?
Steve, like he's on the edge of...
Are you kidding me? Him.
He is this close to being pro. He's probably a plus handicapper. And he's the real deal. The guy can play.
And he motorboated Jessica Simpson.
And then he's a choke artist in the playoffs. So, you know.
But Casey, he's laughing all the way to the bank because he just signed the highest paid NFL analyst contract in television history.
Yep. Whoa.
All right. $17 million a year.
I guess he's having a good birthday.
He's 40 years old today. It's a big one for him. Actress Andie MacDowell.
Always liked her.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day.
Just watched Groundhog Day. I introduced my son to it over the weekend. He'd never seen it before. And obviously it still holds up. It really is just one of the greatest movies of all time.
She's one of, when you talk about characters that are instantly likable in a movie, she is in that movie. She's this girl next door.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
She's 62 today. Nick, call your dad. It's Tony Danza's birthday.
Oh!
Yay!
He is...
Mr. McElwain?
He's
sick.
He's 69. Nick was not allowed to watch any Tony Danza in his house growing up.
You were able to tell Tony Danza that, and he actually chuckled a little bit.
He did, and he offered to take my dad to, like, one of his shows at Broadway or something like that. And so I told my dad about that offer.
Didn't change his opinion?
My dad was like, nah.
Oh, man.
So 69 years old today for Tony Danza.
It's my favorite number because it's a type of oral sex.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, my God.
Good.
Yeah, where the chicks, well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know what it is. Yeah, it's like the numbers.
Yeah, you're both doing something.
a little overrated. But
Charles Grodin, the actor, Midnight Run.
I do that with Charles Grodin.
Midnight Run, Dave. He was also in Heaven Can Wait.
Heaven Can Wait! Heaven Can Wait! Heaven Can Wait! Heaven Can Wait till another day! Heaven Can Wait!
I love that you look ahead and you saw that I had that coming up.
Heaven Can Wait! Heaven Can Wait! Heaven Can Wait till another day!
That was basically the first time because we're doing Isolation Idol.
Yeah, yeah.
That was basically Isolation Idol, but for Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden, and we had people in the studio. They weren't
some real rockers came in.
God, I hope we get more of that.
Charles Grodin is 85. I remember running into that guy, the Heaven Can Wait guy. A few
he's
years
a nice
ago.
Guy. Yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah.
He's
like, he kind of got it.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. He's like, I'm the Heaven Can Wait guy. So.
You know, you talk about Charles Grodin, Preston. He's in one of our guilty pleasures. It might make a great quarantine movie if you've never seen The Lonely Guy.
Oh, my God.
With Steve Martin.
Oh, it's great.
It's a funny movie.
It's been ages since I've seen it, Steve. I wonder how it holds up.
If it holds up. Maybe that's a good question.
Yeah. It was the same thing with the Incredible Shrinking Woman because he played Lily Tomlin's husband in that movie.
Okay.
That was a staple in my household growing up.
It was all over cable, by the way. Yeah. When it came to cable, it was on 4,500 times a day.
So Charles Grodin of Heaven Can Wait.
Heaven Can Wait!
Yeah, so
I gotta watch that again too.
Wow,
it's been a long time.
He's 85, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Another birthday. Rob Riggle, just spoke to him a week or two ago, and he's doing that that treasure hunting show.
So I love that show.
Or is it? It's Lost Civilizations and Mysteries and things along those lines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's really good. He adds a bit of humor to it. My wife and I were watching it, and he gave me, by watching that show, I got the idea for her birthday present, which I got her. It was a home run. He was diving, and he had a full face scuba mask.
Yeah, helmet.
Yeah, like I basically, awesome. Yeah. And but he's a great host for that stuff.
Rob's 50, and then the last birthday today, Queen Elizabeth II celebrates her 94th birthday today. Wow.
The longest reigning monarch in British history, correct?
I believe that is the case.
This is, of course it is.
Okay, of course it is. So happy. And we're going to get to some...
And it is an honor, a singular honor, to share this day with Robert Smith of The Cure.
Yes. And Iggy Pop. And yeah,
and so. Iggy Pop, who looks like Jennifer Aniston after quarantine.
So we'll get some royal news in a moment.
She's an amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you talk about, you know, the classic stiff upper lip. Yeah. And probably labia, too.
No, the labia is definitely not stiff. It well, is the opposite.
I mean, rigor mortis.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, honestly, what an amazing
yes. Career. What a life.
Yeah.
All right.
And she just answered an ad in the paper.
She did?
Yeah, that's when she became the queen.
Oh. So let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, the famous tea party. Who besides Alice were the three characters at the table? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, just looking for those three characters besides Alice at the tea table. Who were they?
We got the Dormouse, the Mad Hatter, and the March Hare.
You got all three.
Yeah! Yep. Kevin can wait!
Yes, Kevin can wait. Hang on, Kevin. We're going to set you up with a digital movie spree sampler pack. 10 movies, including Benji, Gone in 60 Seconds, and Night of the Living Dead. Movie Spree is your go-to streaming service with movie bundles and TV series, documentaries, and more. No subscriptions, no contracts, no kidding. Movie Spree offers a whole new way to build a digital content library, and you can visit moviespree.com for details. Is that you?
That was my my watch.
What did I say that sounded like Siri?
I don't know.
Movie Spree? I don't know. Anyway, I've stuff to get to, and we don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah, so come on.
Let's get on it. Prince Harry had pleaded to Thomas Markle, his bride Meghan's father, on the eve of their wedding in May of 2018, according to new court documents filed at the High Court on Monday.
Please, could you shut up?
Yeah, listen. So he sent his future father-in-law a series of texts after Thomas pulled out of walking Meghan down the aisle of their televised wedding at the last minute. This came after a storm of bad publicity in which Thomas admitted staging paparazzi shots to make himself look better. So one of the texts allegedly read, "Tom, it's Harry again. Really need to speak to you. You do not need to apologize. We understand the circumstances, but going public will only make the situation worse. If you love Meg and want to make it right, please call me, as there are two other options which don't involve you having to speak to the media, who incidentally created this whole situation. So please call me so I can explain. Meg and I are not angry. We just need to speak to you. Thanks." He added, "Oh, any speaking to the press will backfire. Trust me, Tom. Only we can help you, as we have been trying to do from day one." But instead of replying, Tom apparently told TMZ that he had had a heart attack. So they were reaching out to him.
Okay, casts a whole new light on
exactly,
this.
Exactly, right? So Meghan also reached out, according to The Guardian, and had said, "I've been reaching out to you all weekend, but you're not taking any of our calls or replying to any texts.
Very
concerned about your health and safety, and have taken every measure to protect you, but not sure what more we can do if you don't respond.
So
do you need help? Can we send the security team down again? I'm very sorry to hear that you're in the hospital, but need you to please get in touch with us. What hospital are you at?"
Okay, so these texts are date stamped and verified, yes?
I assume so.
All right.
I'm under that assumption because they're in court. So
there we go.
In the filing, Meghan reports that the last contact she received from her father happened at 5:57 a.m. on May 19th, 2018, the morning of the wedding, and that they have not spoken since.
Now, Queen Elizabeth was playing Words with Friends with Thomas Markle.
Yeah, at least they had that connection.
So there was communication.
She said, arrange.
That's not arrange is not even a word. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Arrange. Oh, wait. Orange. Oh, I feel like an idiot.
The Duchess of Sussex is also...
So when you see it on the board like that, it throws you off.
Has sued the Daily Mail on Sunday for invading her privacy by publishing a letter from her father. The pair have also cut off four UK tabloids, The Sun, The Daily Mail, The Daily Express, and Daily Mirror, who they say have published distorted, false, or invasive stories about them. So, yeah, Steve, like you said, that casts a whole new light. It sounds like they were...
Another perspective,
they were trying to really... come to some kind of a compromise and help.
I do believe that statement, though, that Harry put out there, that the press was massaging this right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not saying that Thomas Markle, I'm agnostic on what he is. I don't know. There's no way to know.
Yeah.
But, I believe that a lot of this was the manipulation of what we know to be a very predatory British press.
Yeah, and they certainly, you know, Harry and that family has a lot more knowledge than he did about what they're capable of and wanted to say, yeah, look, dude, trust me on this.
Sha-la-la-la.
We've been through this before. Sha-la-la-la.
I bet we've been together for a million years.
Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds are doing the unthinkable. They're agreeing to bury their epic feud. Granted, it's just for 24 hours and it's for a good cause.
It's the funniest feud.
I love it.
It's so good. Did you watch the video?
No.
There's a video, and I was looking for it this morning. I couldn't find it to get some audio.
It was on Instagram.
Can we dig it up? It's
Ryan Reynolds.
Them going back and forth. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman.
So the pair have agreed to help one lucky fan host an epic lemonade stand to raise money for No Kid Hungry, Feeding America, Meals on Wheels, and WC Kitchen's coronavirus relief efforts. The pair explain the history of their storied feud. And if we want to wait till we get the audio, I don't know. We can come back to the story. Do you want me to read it?
Go ahead, and we'll play it when it comes to
time. All right, so according to Hugh Jackman, he led off saying, people think it started with us, but it didn't. And then Ryan said, the Jackmans and Reynolds have been mortal enemies since there have been Jackmans and Reynoldses. Picking up where he left off, Hugh said, for generations, it's been a point of family honor to oppose each other, adding that his Laughing Man Coffee Company and the Deadpool Star Aviation Gin Company caused a rift between the stars. They continued saying, we'll stop our feud for one day and help sell a different type of drink, lemonade, at your child's lemonade stand.
That's
right.
Cool.
All to help fight food insecurity because no one deserves to go hungry. So I love that they continue to play off of this.
And they're both. So Ryan looks a little grayer. I don't know if that's for a movie, but,
he's in his 40s now.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're used to seeing him on the way, but they're both obviously ultra. Ultra good looking men, and I would gladly allow any of them to take me from behind.
Sure.
They've got a great vibe and a great sense of humor about it.
Yep. Riverdale actor Cole Sprouse.
Yes.
Is the latest celebrity to speak out against fans who think they are entitled to have access to all elements of his life.
He is Jughead.
Yes, on Sunday.
Is that the Sweet Life with Zach and Cody?
Yes.
And exactly. Big Daddy.
With his twin brother.
He was on Friends, too, right? He was the kid in Friends.
That's correct.
Yeah.
On Sunday, he wrote an open letter to fans on Instagram story saying that he doesn't plan to tolerate the behavior any longer. The 27-year-old wrote, I tolerate a lot of rumors and slander from people online claiming to be my fans. Fans who feel entitled to my privacy precisely because I never indulge them.
Cole, don't play that.
But attacking my friends, baseless accusations, leaking my address, and sending death threats are all qualities of insanity and fanaticism. And then he wrote, choose humanity.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
Wow.
I love
Where
that.
Did that come from?
I just, he's not standing for it anymore. Okay. And
he doesn't stand for baloney.
That's the best.
He wrote, you know.
That landed better than I thought it was going to land.
Yes, Casey.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
You got one. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
While it's unclear what he was talking about, observers note that rumors about his relationship with Lily Reinhardt have been circulating. Some rumors allege that he cheated on her.
I don't believe it.
The pair first got together.
Yeah, the Queen's a big Riverdale fan.
In May of 2017 and have been the subject of speculation ever since.
Lily Reinhardt's pet was very sick. So.
Oh, no.
But I think the pet's doing better. Follow her on Instagram.
Is she the redhead?
No, she's Betty. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
This comes after another star, including Outlander, or other stars, including Outlander actor Sam Heumann, I'm not sure how you say his last
name. You are Heumann?
We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Complained about 6 years of harassment from fans and all the baloney he's been dealing with.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
Including death threats and harassment.
So. Have you seen the commercial with Camila Mendes, who is Veronica?
No.
She's in a kind of lingerie thing.
Ooh. Yeah. I like her a lot.
She is awesome.
Okay. Well done.
Well, you know, in Riverdale, everyone's gorgeous. Even Jughead.
I told Steve about this morning. This is sad news, and you have to be of a certain age to remember Green Acres, but Tom Lester, best known for his role as farmhand Ebb Dawson from the sitcom Green Acres, died on Monday in Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, he was the last surviving actor of the original Green Acres cast. They're all gone.
Oh, man.
We were stunned to hear of the death of the actor who portrayed Ebb on Green Acres. The happy-go-lucky, fun person of...
Was it Hooterville?
Yeah,
Hooterville. Green Acres was Hooterville as well, yeah?
Correct, yes. So he died from complications related to Parkinson's disease. He was 81 years old.
Had a good run. Very funny.
Actually, he grew up working on his grandfather's farm. What I didn't know is he earned a degree in chemistry at the University of Mississippi. He taught in Oklahoma for a few years before making the move to Hollywood.
So there you go. A guy, because he played the dummy.
Yes.
He
was this affable, lovable.
Handyman.
Goofball character. Yeah. And yeah. But he had he landed the role in Green Acres in 1965, beating out competition because he was the only actor who could actually milk a cow because he grew up on a farm. But he had a degree in chemistry.
He seemed as authentic. A lot of those people that were part of Green Acres and Petticoat Junction and the Beverly Hillbillies, a lot of the people who seemed really authentic were actually just actors.
Yeah.
You know, that. Yeah. Had no connection to farms or the South or anything.
It was a great show.
It was bizarre.
It had weird humor. It was ahead of its time in that regard, I think.
Yes, it was never meant to be like a real, hey, this is a real group of people and here's the dynamic. It was meant to be like an LSD trip, really.
Oh, really?
Arnold, yes. The pig. They communicated with the pig.
Preston.
Yes, yes, Nick.
All right, so listen. You know how you do the historian from time to time? You might need to dip into the Wikipedia article for Arnold the Pig, because I'm reading it right now. It is fascinating what this pig could do, and it's one pig that played the same pig the whole series.
Arnold the Pig, Nick, did so many things. There were so many plot lines that revolved around the pig.
Yes.
He was a very lucky pig.
Mr. Ziffel owned the pig. He owned Arnold. And, like, Mrs. Drucker or Mrs. It was Drucker, right?
You're talking about...
Mrs. Douglas.
Mrs. Douglas, yes.
Zsa Zsa Gabor. She would have a conversation with the pig. It was crazy.
She was Ava. She was the more likable.
Oh, Ava. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Now, did the pig talk in pig or did he talk in English?
He just snorted.
And she could understand.
And she would understand to have conversations back and forth.
Maybe I need to go back and watch that.
It was bizarre.
There's a scene where Eddie Albert and Ava Gabor, the married couple, the Douglases, he's having a flashback. And he's remembering their time in Paris. And they're like standing on the Champs-Élysées, I guess. And Ebb comes in out of nowhere and he goes, you were describing it so well. I just wanted to see what it was like. Ebb goes into their
dream.
Their dream.
It's wild.
He was one charming mother effing pig, too.
Yes, he was.
Is that on MeTV these days, Steve?
You can find it. Yeah, okay. It's on MeTV.
Yeah,
it's not what you think it is.
Yeah.
It's totally trippy.
And Arnold was like their child, or he was just like
he was another person.
He was the neighborhood kid,
and he had attitude.
Yep.
I also like the guy Mr. Haney, who was the would go in and sell.
I'll
sell it to you for $1.
Mr. Gimble from the farm department, or they had Department of Agriculture, and Mr. Drucker. They were all great characters.
Eddie Albert, he had to go when he would make a call. They never were able to work a phone line into the house, so he'd have to go and climb the telephone pole and make the call from the top of the tower.
It was great.
Casey, did you ask about MeTV just now?
Yes.
Weeknights at 9:30.
There you go.
Okay, done. There it is.
Dun, dun.
And we just rested in Steve Eisner. Okay.
It's the best. Now it's become even better.
There you go.
Tom Lester, he will be missed.
Yeah.
All right. Brad Pitt is a weatherman now. I think we have audio of this.
By the way, quick answer to Jake's question. Yes, he's asking about the Petticoat Junction and Green Acres. They were all in that same world. So not a spinoff, but sort of a partner series.
And even the Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies as well, yeah.
They had crossovers. All right, so apparently Brad Pitt, 56-year-old Oscar winner, made a surprise appearance on Sunday's episode of John Krasinski's Some Good News to report the weather. So we have audio of this.
Yes, it's very funny.
It's here we go. This is it.
We should do a check on the weather Brad, how's it looking out there?
Looks, pretty good. Yeah.
Thanks, Brad.
And that's it. I love it. I love it.
You know what I like about Brad Pitt's performance in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I think is excellent and definitely Oscar-worthy? He's got throughout the entire movie this constant semi-grin on his face.
Yeah.
He's just, this is all a joke. He's the coolest guy in it.
Yeah. So I watched a ton of HGTV, and they're doing a show on Monday nights called Celebrity IOU. Last night was Melissa McCarthy. They kicked it all off with Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt did an hour-long show with Jonathan and,
Kinnicky?
No. Oh, my God. Jonathan and the Property Brothers, their names are. Like, he was on the entire episode of an HGTV makeover show, and he was super-duper likable, of course, obviously.
There you go. Nice.
You wonder if he's, like, really that cool or if he was just, like, acting. Like, he's that
I think he's the Arnold the Pig of humans.
How did you just say acting, by the way?
It's better than going, like, acting! Because, I've been going up lately.
I know. Yeah. You've been going way up.
You wonder if he's really that cool or if he's just acting!
Yeah. I like Louise. It was good.
Yeah.
You sounded like Bert Kreischer just now.
Yeah. All right. We have a clip of Snoop Dogg. Revealing the only person to ever outsmoke him on 420. Now, I haven't seen or heard this.
Yeah, I left it as a surprise. I think you can guess who it is.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah. So.
Okay, right.
He just mouthed it to me.
All right, here we go.
Beautiful.
Willie Nelson is the only one to ever get me.
There you go.
He got me once upon a time on 420 in Amsterdam, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it.
420 in Amsterdam. With Snoop and Willie Nelson.
Pierre was recounting a story yesterday where he went on the on Willie's tour bus, and he said, you would not believe it. He said the smell coming out of that thing. He said it was it was almost a parody of what you might expect.
And that's been the way for years. Now, of late, it's my understanding he has ratcheted back and or... quit?
I don't know.
Willie Nelson? Nick, can you do a check on that? I thought that might be the case.
Maybe he was having some health issues, so I think he scaled back a little bit. But I think it'll be a cold day in hell before Willie Nelson ever quits pot.
Mm. He might have quit smoking it and just is
possible.
Edible.
Yeah, that's possible. All right. Let me see. What else? Oh, let's go back to the royal family. Why not? 98-year-old Prince Philip issued a rare statement about the importance
of... It was quite devastating to hear of the death of the actor who played Airbus Eddington. Of course, the royal family is mourning now his loss.
He talked about also the importance of following guidelines amid the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, if you haven't heard the guidelines as of yet, you've been living in a cave.
He said, as we approach World Immunization Week, I want to recognize the vital and agent work being done by so many to tackle the pandemic, by those in the medical and scientific professions at universities and research institutions, all united in working to protect us from COVID-19. He continued saying, on behalf of those of us who remain safe and at home, I also wanted to thank all key workers who ensure the infrastructure of our life continues.
Because of the coronavirus, I've had to put on hold my driving school.
The staff and volunteers working in food production and distribution, those keeping postal and delivery services going, and those ensuring the rubbish continues to be collected as well.
There we go. Well, that's what they do. They make statements.
Yep.
Rubbish.
Rubbish. Baloney. Stranger Things star Joe Keery's Twitter account was hacked and filled with racist comments. Now, I don't remember off the top of my head which character Joe Keery is.
Isn't he Steve?
He may be. Yeah. I'm not sure. You'll have to verify that, Nick. But yes.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Okay. Steve, the brother, the older brother. Yeah.
Yep.
I like him.
Soon after the comments and allegations that had been molested on his Netflix show were posted, his account was deactivated. According to a rep for Twitter, they said, as soon as we were made aware of the issue, we locked the compromised account and investigated the situation. We're working closely with the account holder to restore the account.
Did you see the hacked account? They were your pictures from Instagram.
Oh my God! Oh. By the way, I haven't heard back from Facebook yet about that. So
if you haven't heard, Preston's all the rage when it comes to hacked accounts.
I reported it and I haven't heard back from them yet. So
you know what though? They might just take it down. They might not actually email you back.
You know what? I'll have to check on that. Yep. All right. We're ready to move on to the clips. 10 singles are challenged to refrain from any sexual encounters in order to find love and win a cash prize in the reality series Too Hot to Handle.
Ooh.
In this clip, contestant Nicole O'Brien discusses why being part of this show is a dream come true.
I have, for maybe the past few years, wanted to do something like this. But when this came my way and finding out it was for Netflix, I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be amazing. This is the goal. This is my dream. So I'm super lucky and super privileged to have done an opportunity like this.
I don't think I want to see it.
So wait a minute. The concept is they're just supposed to not mess around with each other
for 10 days.
For 10 days or however
long. They
can
win 100 grand.
Oh God.
It's Trainwreck TV. Guys, give it the first episode a chance.
Seriously?
Preston, it's terrible.
Okay.
But it's great.
They're ridiculously
of course.
Gorgeous. We're looking at them. Oh, my God.
This is her goal and dream, huh?
Yeah, to not have sex for 10 days.
But it'll be one of those shows that you get angry while watching it, but it's also fun and funny and tongue-in-cheek. And just give it a shot and see what you think.
All right. I might, you know what, something like this I would rather watch than what my wife got caught up in was...
Love Island?
No, the one where they don't see each other. They don't...
Love is Blind or whatever.
Oh, my God. I just watched her watch the end of it, okay? And, of course... They're gorgeous, too.
Of course.
Like, when they reveal themselves to each other.
I'm very happy for me, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have to sleep sitting up because my head is so large.
Yeah. So, this I might actually...
Just like Nick McElwain, but at least I say I'm not Nick.
Nick, we're watching video footage of this guy that they're introducing, and they've shown three... close-up shots. I mean, close-up of his abs.
Yeah.
Going right down to his
balls.
To his guts.
Get a lot of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
His six-pack goes all the way down to his
sack. Hang on a second. Are both the goals for both contestants to not hook up with each other?
That's a good question.
Or is it her goal to hook up with him and his goal to not? And she gets 100 grand if they do hook up, and he gets 100 grand if they don't hook up.
And you're not allowed to take care of your own business either. So you have to avoid that. And so, there's a $100,000 prize.
This is a show?
Because, honestly.
Too hot to handle, Kath.
I mean, so quick question to that point, Nick. Do you have any ideas? So is the goal... to seduce the other person, and is that it?
Wow. But every time you mess up, the prize money goes down. So
she's a hooker.
Okay.
She's a hooker. I mean, if she is getting basically paid to hook up...
Aren't they all?
No, you're right.
They all are. Like, that Love Island thing, they are all... Oh, my God.
Wow.
We're watching
these are 10th level hot people.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
It's great to meet you.
Yes. Oh, my God, Steve. Yes.
My name is Bambi with an L.
She's on there. She's the star.
Where is the L?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Bambi.
With an L.
With an L, Nick.
All right, Too Hot to Handle is streaming on Netflix
now. I'll give it a just judging you know by what this is. They're better than the Love Island people, who I thought were pretty unbelievable.
Just tell me I'm not going to invest any of my time in this.
Come on.
No. I've got other dumb. I got Celebrity IOU to watch.
Yeah. By the way, here's a great text that came in mentioning the guy's abs. It just says 7 minute. Abs.
Yeah.
I love that.
By the way, Preston, I checked up on the guy using all your photos. Not only is he still up, but he posted pictures of you on an airplane 2 minutes ago.
Oh, that's
wow.
That's
fantastic.
What are you doing flying right now?
I'm not supposed to be traveling anywhere.
Wait till the Australian police show up.
I know. Let's go to the next clip. Here we go. Okay, so WWE 7 foot, 383-pound giant steps out of the ring in the new sitcom, The Big Show Show.
Big Show Show?
Yeah, in this clip, Paul Big Show White discusses how long he has pushed for a series like this to happen. Here we go.
This is an opportunity that I have driven the powers to be at WWE crazy for years. Well over 10 years, I've been driving Vince nuts about I need a family comedy. I can do this. I'm funny. It shows my best characteristic points that I don't ever get to show in my character.
The Big Show Show is streaming now on Netflix as well.
I'll watch that. You guys watch that other dumb show.
All right.
And I'll watch this one.
All right. And there you go. We need to take a break. It's already 8 minutes after 7 o'clock. We have a lot to get to today. We got another run at Isolation Idol. That's coming up roughly an hour from right now. But before that, MMR's Rock Refund at 8 o'clock. Your chance to win $500. That's going to happen two times this morning. We'll take a break and come back in just a moment. Stay with us today, my friend.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear. Available now in the MMR Rock Shop, like t-shirts, hoodies, and tank tops with designs from retro MMR logos to the latest from the Preston and Steve Show branded hats and tops for guys and gals. We've even got your little ones covered with an array of bibs, onesies, and toddler tees, plus coffee mugs and much more, all with the MMR attitude you expect. Search the word shop at WMMR.com and get shopping. Stuff for you, gifts for them. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your wardrobe.
Rock Refund coming up 8 o'clock. Isolation Idol. We are going to take our second run at that today around 8:15 or so. We had two contestants yesterday who made it to our finals, which is going to be on Friday, and that's Nicole and Kira. Who will it be today?
We didn't reveal the good news, is that we've all been signed as artist development for PolyGram Records.
It's a beautiful thing, so we know what we're doing.
Yes, apparently we just blew the industry out of their socks yesterday. Yep.
So we'll have a new batch of contestants in a little while. We're getting set for that. But in the meantime, pull up to the table because we got some stuff to talk about.
It's time for the connoisseur. Everyone loves to eat, and everyone really loves to eat during a pandemic.
Yes, quite a bit. And also, it seems that with the pandemic and businesses realizing that people are doing a lot more cooking at home, they have been releasing their secret recipes.
I've noticed this more and more places.
What was the chocolate chip cookie recipe we were talking about the other day? Embassy Suites.
Embassy Suites.
Yeah. And how about this? IKEA has released the recipe for their iconic Swedish meatballs.
They're great. They really are great. They're Swedish as a company. Meatballs are Swedish. It's a match made in heaven.
IKEA said in a statement, "We know that some people might be missing our meatballs, which is why we've released an at-home alternative.
You're going to want our balls.
Which, using easily accessible ingredients, will help those looking for inspiration in the kitchen." They also released a recipe for the Swedish cream sauce that is typically served with the meatballs. That's the gravy.
Which is really good. Did I hear correctly that they've included, I think online, an actual replica of an IKEA instructional manual with
funny. I love it.
On how to put it together.
At our house, Rochelle has been trying to keep the kids engaged with just activities and so on.
And regular beating.
Corona activities. No, we haven't been beating them.
Oh.
So she had a project for them the other day, and I forgot what she called it. It was like Armchair World Traveler or something like that.
Really?
But anyhow, so you had to research a country.
Okay.
And then you had to present a short presentation about what you learned about the country, but also you had to create a local delicacy from that country.
Ooh.
So Carter chose Sweden.
Of course.
Carter chose Sweden.
By the way, Carter made these jams and jellies. Preston brought in lime?
Blueberry lime is what I brought you.
Holy hell.
Fantastic.
So I ate it just as a dessert.
Yeah.
I never put it on anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's that goddamn good.
It's excellent. So he made a dish from Sweden called the Flying Jacob, which I had never heard of, never had. And I even reached out to our friend Antonina, who is from Sweden. She was a former intern. She runs a radio station in Gothenburg, Sweden. And I said, "Have you ever heard of this thing called Flying Jacob?" She's like, "Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's weird is what it is."
Okay. What is it?
So it's
a Stroman with the icing.
It's not that bad.
Okay.
But it's you get a rotisserie chicken. You shred up all the meat.
Uh-huh.
There is a, and I forgot what it, it's like a, it's not quite a hot sauce, but a pepper sauce of some sort that you put on it. And it's got bananas and peanuts.
Okay.
Ah. Chicken, bananas, and peanuts.
Is this, we,
it's
a picture.
Casserole, Kathy, so oh, you would be all about it. And everything, it was odd, but Antonita was going on, like, people love it in Sweden.
I'll tell you what.
The Birkehjerten?
Yeah. The food combination does not turn me off at all.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay. They're all, I wouldn't say similar in taste, but they're not, you know, they're not. Like completely, like it's not like tuna fish and ice cream.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
That sounds good.
I don't know. I found the bananas to be a little bit odd in it. Carter loved it, of course, and yeah, but it was an interesting little delicacy that we had the other night. And then Parker made bangers and mash. And his country was Ireland.
Are you a bangers and mash fan?
Yeah.
I love sausage.
Any kind of sausage.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I guess that kills it for me because I'm not a huge sausage fan.
Do you like mashed potatoes?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least you like that part of you like the mash. So he did bangers and mash, and then Caroline chose the China as her country, and she had these candied strawberries that she made. Essentially, it's strawberries covered in a candy shell almost.
So do they all have chops in the kitchen?
A little bit.
Yeah, but
Carter definitely.
Carter's the mofo.
Yeah, and he also made from scratch I think it was called a princess cake, which took like 5 hours to make, and that's why I didn't get to watch Sing Street on Saturday night because he was making his damn cake.
You're also making me feel like I'm failing as a parent.
You are
completely with your kids.
Jace's big project is growing his hair longer than any other boy in the world.
Yep. Uh-huh. He's going for a world record. Also, we figured out how to put Jace's face in the bottom of the screen while playing video games so he can record himself.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool. Has he got a Twitch account?
He's forming his YouTube account.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
He's going to be a YouTube star.
Yeah, there's not that many out there, so he should be good.
So, yeah, so, and you guys are being very cultural and having your kids cook.
Hey, let's have delicacies from around the world, children. Mm-hmm. Mother, I made the favorite dish of China.
So maybe we'll try a...
Mommy, what could I do? Grow your hair long. Leave me alone.
Try the IKEA. Meatballs.
These are his ideas. Hey, real quick, Preston, I just want to tell you, speaking of cooking, what I found out is banana bread molds very quickly.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did it sit around?
Maybe I had it for a week.
Okay.
Dude, I mean, it made a lot, so, you know, I didn't eat it, but I went to have a piece yesterday, and I was like, nope.
Maybe
you used my mom's recipe?
No, Nick, there was too many ingredients in that one.
Kat, too much when work. You say you made a lot, how much did you make?
Like a, you know, a regular bread pan.
Like a loaf.
Like a loaf, yeah.
And that lasted a week?
What do you call those things? Loaves?
Yeah, Case, it's just me and Jace eating it. Jace didn't really like it, so it was really just me. Dennis doesn't eat bread.
Dennis just eats air.
Right, exactly. All right, well, if you want the IKEA meatballs, the recipe is now available. You can go to IKEA's website if you like.
Let me ask you a connoisseur quickly.
Yes.
If there's a dish out there or something that is a revered recipe or something that's offered by a restaurant that you would love to take a crack at, what would you want? Because now as a number of these places are revealing these secret recipes. Wow. What would you like to have the ability to make at home? We talked about the Cheddar Bay biscuits, which people can do now.
Yeah, but you know what? We had a recipe for a while that we made because you can find people will kind of reverse engineer
and
recipes for restaurant chains.
Right.
They'll come up with them.
They'll figure it out.
One time we did the lettuce wraps from P.F. Chang's.
Oh, my God.
And they turned out
pretty
damn good. The only problem is there's a few ingredients that you end up buying for that. That you use that one time, and then they just sit in your fridge, and they eventually go bad. You
Chang
know, there's
sauce.
Certain sauces and things. So,
hey, you know what I do have? I have the recipe for Robert Irvine's Bandolfi, I think is how you pronounce it, pie, that he...
I remember you telling us about that.
Dude, is this what he has at his hotel?
Uh-huh. Well, at his restaurant in Vegas. It is... I haven't made it yet.
I
want to give it to somebody that actually knows what they're doing in the kitchen to make it for me. Because, listen, I've ruined everything. I ruined the carrot cake that I tried to make a few weeks ago.
Give it to me. Give it to me. We'll make it for you.
Okay. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. It's got coffee in it.
I want to make love to you.
My friend perfectly recreated the Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Ooh. Oh!
You guys.
Okay.
And they like opened their drawer and pulled out all their Chick-fil-A sauces too. So it was on point.
So, really? You thought it was a home run, Marissa?
Photo, it's so good. What was that?
You thought it was like a home run?
I mean, I'm going to show you this photo. Okay. It looks, it makes me want to eat it.
All right, come in here. All right, we'll check that out. Well, yeah, how would you know it was on point? Because you don't eat meat. And...
Oh, well, pictures.
The picture's nice.
It looks close, But, it's kinda... I mean, the taste is everything. Yeah, unless you eat the photograph.
Yeah, it looks pretty close.
Yeah.
We'd have to taste it.
Taste, right, sure. It doesn't matter. It's just as long as it looks like it, Preston.
I love when we were doing first world problems, and the one guy called in and said, I hate it when my Chick-fil-A sandwich is too thick.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
One side of it is
What's
too
with
thick?
All this chicken?
Yeah. Yeah, how dare you give me
You're giving me an abundance of food I like.
All right, how about let's go to junk food.
Over to junk food, and boy, we love that as well.
By the way, my huge Amazon shipment of Oreo Thins came.
Ah!
How many?
It's like a case.
Oh, my God.
I've got a lot. Yeah. And my wife had bought some of it from me.
I doubt you'd be interested in this, Steve, but they are making it now. Pringles comes in a chicken and waffles flavor.
I love chicken and waffles. Pringles is a hit or miss with me.
Yeah. The new flavor was spotted at a Dollar General by an Instagrammer.
Look!
And it's exclusive to the wallet-friendly store, by the way.
Chicken and waffle Pringles were discovered at a Dollar General store. Mm. We got out of Jimmy Bleszewski. Jim, are those Pringles indeed there? No, Tom, they were bought. Thank you, Jim.
So I'm sorry. Pringles are a hit and a hit with me. It doesn't even matter. I love Pringles. Marissa, you had that Pringles wine party. Did chicken and waffles show up, or is this too brand new for that?
No, because this is new, but we did have pickle flavor, which was really good, and honey mustard.
So those sound pretty good.
For those more unique flavors, that's where Pringles works for me. If it's on a standard sort of potato chip level, I would rather have a standard potato chip.
Mm. So I don't know if you can find them or not, but they apparently exist.
Listen, I'm a Hers guy through and through. When it comes to potato chips, and you got the long cylinder of Pringles, does that compare with the amount of potato chips you get in a
I don't think
family
so.
Hurt? Okay, I didn't think so either.
I think it's a crock of crap. I'll tell you what, though. So I'm going to do a video to demonstrate. A listener helped me to this fact, and it actually works. Eating, you know, hers, the cheese balls, that's everything to me now. It's my wife and I admit that it's more important to each other than our own love. You know, eating them with the fork.
Oh.
You can eat cheese balls with a fork. And so you don't get cheese ball fingers.
So Carter is taken to, because he read this somewhere, eating popcorn with chopsticks.
Chopsticks.
So you don't get like butter all over your fingers.
Right.
So he does that. What?
Licking your fingers is the best part.
I tell you, and Preston, I am literally like, it's like that I Love Lucy sketch in the candy store on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Yep. Bang, 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 bang. But you can do it.
It's kind of like a second meal, right, Case? Like,
it all is.
Of a sudden, yeah, you're like, well, hey.
When I'm done eating, I go, oh, my God. And then it's like dessert.
And round
then,
two.
Then don't you lick the floor at your feet?
Yes.
Yeah, there's dust down there.
Can we hear what it sounds like when you lick your fingers, please?
Oh, no.
It's so gross as it is.
The best is that scene. From Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yes, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yes. When he's licking Harry's fingers.
And do they do the stink fist?
Do you remember that footage of Bloomberg at the pizza table?
No.
So is he licking his fingers?
This is a big thing. Like, yeah. Right when the COVID-19 stuff was breaking, he's over.
Yes.
And he takes the pizza and literally is doing each finger. Oh, my God.
But sometimes when I'm feeling generous, I let my dogs lick my fingers.
What?
Yeah. No, he's right, Casey. After the hers, if because you're there, it's almost like you're a surgeon.
Yeah.
You're going, you can't touch anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's so, but the dog loves the cheese.
Here you go, buddy.
So here, have at it, buddy.
No. No, I'm like, stop licking my hand.
Oh, no, no. And then every night my shoes come off because my dog loves to lick my feet.
Oh, yeah.
Your feet?
My feet.
You don't let your dog lick your feet? I mean, I don't stick my feet.
They've never wanted to lick my feet.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
they lick your face.
Tuck some cheese balls under your sack.
They jump right in and they start licking your face. But no, not the feet thing. I actually, so much so that I went and looked up why dogs lick people.
Is it salt?
It's the salt. It has to be, right?
No, not necessarily. It there's a couple of reasons. Part of it is almost like you biting your nails.
Okay,
it
can be nervous.
Not necessarily nervous, but just a thing you do.
It's because they can't light the cigarettes.
Yeah. Right, right.
Is it the peanut butter?
It may be, maybe. Maybe after you've eaten as well. But okay. I thought the salt, too. I didn't read that part of it, but it may be because especially after, if you're sweaty, they kind of go for it, too, you know?
When I come up after doing, say, the treadmill or working out, the dog is, but I've also seen Chelsea get almost that way that you're talking about, Preston, like nail biting, nervous, like come over and just want to do, like to kill time. Or,
all right.
I don't know.
So... All right, so does
I'm a dog. What am I going to do?
Does a dog licking you indicate any sort of affection?
It says here, mostly with domestic dogs, it is a sign of affection.
Aww.
Oh,
licking
I love you,
releases
Chelsea.
Pleasurable okay. endorphins, which gives a dog a feeling of comfort and pleasure, like the feeling people get when they are biting their nails.
Huh.
It relieves stress. So there you go. It
says Casey, it's often a prelude to sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good. Well,
at least they understand foreplay.
Once
for
I
God's
start
sake.
Getting aroused, that's when I stop.
Where's this going?
Yeah.
My one dog, Fozzie, is not a big licker, but Reggie, dude, he just looks for skin. He's like, okay. I mean, he licks the inside of my elbow,
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, oh, go ahead. And then other times I'm like, just get off. Right. He was nibbling my ear the other day.
Oh, my God.
And you got wood.
Yeah. And I did not get wood.
Nibbling
I did not.
Your ear.
It was adorable.
Oh, my God.
And
going to have sex with my dog.
Casey, I can see your face right now while he's doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's kind of like...
It's okay, baby.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes it happens with dogs.
Sometimes I'm not into it, and then other times I'm like, okay, just I know that you love me, and I'm going to let you do your thing. And
if you have a headache, you're not into it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I just a plaything? Am I just a toy?
Well, I did say to my wife, I go, I totally understand, like, now how you feel when I come up and grope you for no reason. Like,
now I understand doggy style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, now I totally, because I'm like, I don't want this right now. And I just, you know, I'm like, I don't want it. I just want to sit here and watch TV.
It took a dog to show you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife has, she takes private videos of me all the time when I'm getting accosted by the dog. I should ask her to send me all the videos.
All right.
Because it is adorable, Preston.
Oh, okay.
You don't know how wonderful I am.
Wow. Okay.
Let's get back on the food here, guys.
Food. Yes. More junk food. Nestle's drumsticks now come in another variety, and they're calling it Super Nugget.
I'm not familiar with Nestle's drumsticks.
Is that the ice cream?
You don't know drumsticks?
You don't know drumsticks?
No. Is it an ice cream thing?
Yeah.
I've been eating drumsticks since I was a kid. I mean, it's probably my favorite ice cream novelty.
No, don't like them.
Oh, wow. No. Wow.
Too nutty.
Well, you can get it without the nuts. You can get, like, regular nutless.
The nutless
they also
wonders.
Have, like, cookie ones as well.
I like the peanuts on there so much that when they go to the bottom of the little container, so I'll take the drumstick out, and then I'll eat the top part of the ice cream off, and then I'll take the peanuts in the container and pour them back on top of the ice cream part so it stays on there. No, I don't down them. I like to have them with the ice cream. So I love peanuts and ice cream and walnuts and almonds and pistachios and any kind of nuts. I'm just a nut lover. What can I say?
Macadamia nuts.
So anyhow, they have what's called the Super Nugget variety, which means there is extra chocolate in the bottom of the cone. So, Steve, the bottom of the cone...
Catches the nuts?
No. There's a big nugget of chocolate in your regular cone as well.
All right, I didn't know that.
The reason they put it there... I found is because the ice cream in the course of eating that cone can melt and soften the tip of the cone
itself and make it a mess.
So they put a big thing. So your last bite is this big chunk of chocolate.
And it says here on the box, Preston, bigger chocolatey nugget, which was a blaxploitation star in the 70s.
Bigger chocolatey nugget.
I personally love the caramel filled ones, Preston.
Those are good.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I need to revisit this. You say there are nutless ones?
Yes. You can get them with just
the chocolate casing. Okay.
And they have like a cookie. Ish one as well.
Yep.
All right. I think to me it's nut overkill.
Nick,
I have an open-ended question for you guys because I have an answer on my own opinion. But in general, the cones are better than bowls of ice cream, right? Like, because you can eat the entire cone.
Not always.
It depends.
Not always.
I think as a general rule, I'm right on this one.
I'm definitely pro cone when driving, for sure, because you can eat that with one hand.
Yeah. At home, okay. I'm
you
a bowl guy.
Ice cream while you're driving?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? We go to Brewster's, you hit the drive-thru, yes, Dairy
absolutely.
Queen, of course.
I put my soup in a cone when I'm driving.
Yeah. Why? That seems odd to you?
Yeah, it does. Like,
we do ice cream road trips with the family, even in the dead of winter.
Like, I'm thinking ice cream is more summer. I'm thinking if you're going to go to get ice cream and you get a cone, you'll sit there.
Yeah, we will do that if the weather's proper. But we go year-round. We'll go in the middle of February and hit an ice cream joint.
There are a few places that I go to where if you're going to get soft ice cream and the cone, mm-hmm. you drive and eat.
Yeah,
you look for proper cone integrity.
Kathy, they have, and it's been a little while since I remember the special, but if you go, like, when it snows, there's special deals.
Oh, that's cool.
If you bring your own banana, you can get a banana split for cheaper. If you wear your pajamas, they have certain days where it's like pajamas. Yeah, this is Brewster's I'm talking about.
Where is this?
Brewster's.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Preston, a cone in my car would be like, that'd be a real no-no.
I'm sorry, Mother. Was I having fun?
Once again.
I'm sorry, Mommy. Was I having fun?
You can't lick the spoon.
No. Just shut up and grow your hair.
Do you guys,
shut up and grow your hair.
Do you ever make cones at home?
No. Have you?
No.
Wait, I do. What? Does that count? Does that give me a chance?
Master Chef Kathy Romano reveals her cone recipe.
Do tell.
Not for myself, but for Jace. That's like his dessert. If he has something after dinner or, in the evening, that's what he wants. He always wants vanilla ice cream in a cone with sprinkles. So, yes, I have cones at the house.
No, not for myself.
Do you make them?
She doesn't understand. He meant make your own cones.
Oh, get the hell out of here. What?
Okay.
Sorry, that's more like that.
We were stunned to hear that? Kathy Romano was handcrafting cones, and then we realized it was a misunderstanding.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
And then when you go out for ice cream,
how do you make them, Case?
Waffle cone, right? No, I don't make cones at home. No, that's what I was saying to you, Nick. Like, bowl at home, cone everywhere else.
Raccoon at night.
Everything's all right.
If I have the cones at home, I like that option because you're not wasting any drips of ice cream left behind in the bowl. See, that's where my problem is. And by the way, Steve, we had ice cream delivered the other night. Just there's a place around the corner that they're doing takeout.
Shut up. I'm jonesing for ice cream. There's Zaz. Is right up the road.
Do they deliver?
That would be the absolute admission that I'd cashed in everything. It's less than a mile away from the house.
Can you deliver?
Wait, is that?
Why don't I just throw it out the window, you lazy F?
Steve, is that the one that's at the Elmwood Park Zoo?
I don't know, Kathy, if they have it there. It's Casey actually introduced us to it.
Yeah, because of the black magic.
It's so good.
It might be something different. I forget what's at the Elmwood Park Zoo, but whatever.
That's good, too.
Joint that is, it's the best.
Casey, you asked if we do waffle cones.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm very boring when it comes to cones. I do the regular cake cone. I know.
I'll tell you what, though. There are applications for both cones. If you're going to have hard ice cream, scooped ice cream, I'm going to want the waffle cone because you got a lot more play in it. If it's soft ice cream, I'm going to want that type of cone that you mentioned. I don't know what the basic cone is called.
Yeah, cake. They call cake it cone, cake yeah. cone, yeah. But, yeah, I know. I'm boring in that regard.
No, it's whatever you like.
You're into figging, so that's...
I usually only get ice cream cones when I'm down the shore, and so I do the waffle cone.
Gotcha.
By the way, just real quick, it's not Zaz, it's Petrucci that's at the Elmwood Park.
They listen to the show, Kath. Maybe we've mentioned them a couple times.
They have the greatest ice cream.
They're excellent. They have the soft ice cream there as well, right?
Yeah, and there's one out in Phoenixville. They have, I don't know if you guys ever driven past, but it's on 23, and they painted the entire parking lot purple. It's an eye-catching kind of a thing. No. And so, yeah, it's a cool place to go visit. Preston, next time you do a road trip. Yeah. Consider that one. Yeah.
Okay. And people always ask because Zaz is on Germantown Avenue.
Definitely will. Okay. One last thing, and then that's it. And we'll stay with the kind of sweet treats. Planters now sells chocolate and nut bark.
Are you a bark fan?
Yeah. I do like it, but I always liked almond bark.
Yes. Okay.
It's made with.
Okay.
Milk chocolate, chopped peanuts, and a dash of salt. But you don't like the peanut stuff too.
No,
much,
I do. So. They're very specific. I'm very fickle, but I like almonds in chocolate.
Okay,
dark chocolate. You hear?
An Instagrammer spotted the treat at Walmart, and a photo of the product says that it is a limited edition on the label.
Almonds are very applicable, like the Almond Joy. You know, I'm a big fan, as are you, right?
Yeah, I am too. Yep. Milk chocolate, chopped peanuts, and a dash of salt.
Because so. Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Yep.
Sometimes you feel like a hot Carl.
Okay. Well, yep. Yeah.
They should. Somebody should come up with that. That'd be great. Oh, man, that was great. They heated it just right.
Delightful.
Nasty. All right, I think that's all I have time.
That's it.
I think in the interest of staying on time to getting your opportunity to win $500 with the Rock Refund, we should probably wrap up the connoisseur.
And then also, we're going to unveil super new talent to the world.
It is Isolation Idol Part 2. Who will join the ranks of Nicole and Kira, who are our finalists from yesterday? We will have a shot for these contestants to show what they can do and maybe move on to the next round, which will be on Friday for the championship, and you'll get to vote for. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. The Bizarre File on the way. Like I said, MMR's Rock Refund. Let's get you that $500. Be back in a moment.
In these difficult times, MMR reminds you social distancing doesn't mean you can't still be social.
Good morning!
Connect with us on your favorite social media platform today. After all, since we're going to be here a while, let's make the best of it together. But safely, because we don't know where your timeline has been.
Oh, my God.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, we should do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, thank you. Let's get into it. We're going to start with this story. A lot of great pictures of people, especially news reporters, doing their reports from home, or anchors doing their reports from home.
And there's some funny stuff going on.
Oh, my God. There was a good one yesterday. Melinda Meza is correspondent for KCRA3 in Sacramento, California, due to being in lockdown. She is reporting from home rather than from various locations across the region. And recently, she was filming a report about how to cut your own hair at home in her bathroom. Unknowingly, her husband was in the shower in the background. I mean, full-on,
full naked,
frontal nudity.
Right.
It's hilarious.
So he's reflected in the mirror.
Yes. Twitter users reacted to the glimpse of the man in the shower, with one writing, "Oh my God, please let that not be her husband." But you would think, you'd say, honey, hang on about 10 minutes until I'm done here.
Or also, the sound of the shower would have to be a problem with the audio for the segment she was doing.
But it happened, so thank God for that. A woman from Paraguay was shocked to awaken in a body bag recently.
Oh, my.
Gladys Duarte had gone to a clinic on Saturday because her high blood pressure was increasing. She's also suffering with ovarian cancer.
Holy
About
hell.
2 hours after her arrival, staff members told her husband she had passed away. However, staff at the funeral home then found her moving around in a body bag when she was unloaded. She was immediately taken to one of Paraguay's Social Welfare Institute medical facilities.
Hey, sorry about that.
And placed under observation. Her current condition is unknown. This happens every now and then when they think they're dead. And they're not.
Well, she was actually sitting up in the waiting room reading a magazine, Preston.
And they bagged her.
And they bagged her.
Yeah. Wow. A Utah mom named Mindy Vincent recently shared a Facebook post featuring a photo of herself wearing a face mask made from a fabric with cartoon penises printed on it. Yeah. It quickly went viral. And she shared that when people pointed out her mask has penises on it, she kindly tells them she knows, and that this is how she determines that they are standing too close to her. Her son suggested she start selling the masks and donate all the proceeds to Utah Harm Reduction Coalition. Vincent says she has sold 5,400 masks and that she has enough material to make 19,000 total. There are other mask designs available featuring flying penises, breasts, and vaginas, if you would like one of those.
Have you ever seen the It's Always Sunny, where they're handing out the little flyers that are supposed to be for a gym, and it's like a bicep and an arm, but the way it's cut, it looks like a penis and testicles.
Oh, my God. I love it. A Texas entrepreneur has been forced to quarantine in an abandoned California mining town with a sinister past after getting trapped there by a snowstorm.
This has got to be some scary stuff.
This guy, Brent Underwood, had actually purchased this town. It's called Cerro Gordo for $1.4 million in 2018, fascinated by its seclusion and harrowing history, which once saw one murder every week. The 32-year-old went to visit the 300-acre property last month in the early days of the America coronavirus lockdowns, with plans to stay for a week while its usual caretaker traveled to check on family. But soon after he got there, a snowstorm hit. It dumped 5 feet of powder, which has made it impossible for him to leave.
5 feet of powder.
So he is now entering his second month stranded in the dilapidated town about 300 miles outside of L.A., nearly 30 miles from the nearest supermarket. In the absence of running water, he's relying on melted snow to stay hydrated. He's already ran out of bread and vegetables, but hopes he has enough rice and canned tuna to sustain him until the snow thaws. It's unclear when that will happen, though. And adding to this experience are the town's locals, the rumored spirits of people who have died there, and a pair of crows that Underwood has come to see as friends. So it's known to be a haunted town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, with a real, as you said, a really treacherous history.
And he is stuck there. So, all right, we'll do one more story, and then we got to get to the word for $500. Hilarious footage shows an intense pursuit between a formidable four-footed suspect and determined police officers in Stamford, Connecticut. The incident happened over a 45-minute span on Friday. It was caught on body cam footage by responding officers. Altogether, three officers chased a pig around a property and an edge of a pond. When attempting to corral the pig failed, police officers had to get creative. They grabbed a garbage can to try and contain it.
Yeah, it's
so
tough.
They're running around with their body cam footage chasing after this thing. And at one point in the video, an officer actually traps the pig under a garbage can, but it escaped, ran underneath another officer's legs. Eventually, they managed to trap the pig with the can. It took over 45 minutes. Police said the pig was brought to the Stamford Animal Control.
And it was Arnold Ziffel, Preston.
While they try and locate its owner. Yeah, there he goes. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, it's 8:01. Here we go.
93.3 WMMR. Now, your rock refund keyword.
All right, the word is budget. B-U-D-G-E-T. Not a J. B-U-D-G-E-T, and you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do so. Via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911, or to be automatically entered for the $10,000 grand prize. Enter it on the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and that person will get a call from our company, Beasley. So make sure you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It is sponsored by A&T Subaru and Chevy in Sellersville. So keep in mind, 15 minutes after the hour to enter it, the word is budget, B-U-D-G-E-T. Good luck to you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to round number two, Preston and Steve's Isolation Idol. Our contestants warming up, getting ready.
Oh, yeah.
Do not miss it. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So it was a little idea that we had, and sure enough, it's beginning to happen. We decided to tap into the creativity of people in the Delaware Valley.
That's how we get away with not doing work.
It's kind of
ingenious.
And
it works!
It really is ingenious. The only person working really hard are Nick and Marissa, who have gathered everybody to get this stuff together and all the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on. Marissa is, as we speak, starting to dial people up to get them ready.
She's a dynamo.
For our next competition, our next day of competition, I should say.
It's rewarding, though, man. I have been so impressed and astounded by the number of people in the listening area who are great, are really talented, and it's just been really encouraging. And people are having fun with it. You know, that's what we want to do in the first place.
Delighted but not surprised, because you know there's so many talented people out there, and delighted in the fact that they decided to go ahead and enter this contest.
Yes.
And send in their submissions, and we had to narrow it down to 24 altogether, and we're going to narrow that down even further to 8, which is when the finals happen on Friday. But, we're getting people to perform live on the air, giving us a little taste of their talents. And then we're going to give away $500 to the best one at the end of the week.
Listen, we've been honest about this. We're never big fans. And Casey is a big fan of these shows. We have not been. However, when you started to see all this pop up, as you said, Preston, all these people, like, oh, my God, that guy's good. Or that she's really good. Or blah, blah, blah. Hey, everyone's doing it. We might as well tap into it. And again, at the end of this, I think we're going to have major record deal signed.
Major record
and
deals?
I think that, yes.
Okay. You can think that. It's okay to think that.
I also think that clouds are made of marshmallows.
That's true, too. Yeah. That's okay to think as well.
Yeah.
But shall we do round number two?
I think we need to.
All right, here we go.
It's Preston and Steve's Isolation Idol. Because everyone seems more talented during a pandemic.
All right, that means we're ready to meet our next performers. And we are excited to welcome contestant number one today. We're going to have 6 of them all together. And we, the Preston and Steve Show, will do a vote during the commercial break and determine 2 people who will go on to the finals on Friday. So we'll begin with this gentleman. For 3 decades, he's electrified audiences at nearly every major venue in the Philadelphia area.
Nice.
And continues to thrill audiences everywhere. He currently offers a one-man show, which really delivers. Singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, teacher, and funky white boy from South Jersey, please welcome David St. James to the show this morning. David, can you hear me? Casey,
no.
David, are you there?
I see David making a bagel.
He's pointing at stuff, but I don't know if he's responding to it. Man, we did the setup. We had
David.
The music. It was big.
Wait.
David, he's not reacting, it looks like. So, hey, hold up your hand to the screen if you can hear us, David. Hold your hand up to the screen like you're waving at us if you can hear us. No,
all right, act like you can't hear us if you can hear us.
Yeah, pretend like you can't hear us if you can't hear us. Hey, he can't hear us. All right, so, and there you go.
Listen, that was the way it went yesterday. I remind you.
Round two.
That it finally finished off in a wonderful way.
All right, what do you guys want to do?
Cancel the whole thing.
All right.
Marissa is troubleshooting right now.
That's all right. Listen, these are the little bumps that you go through when you're putting on a major piece of entertainment.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will do some shout-outs.
Do you remember the American Idol, the first American Idol? And they couldn't communicate with the people up on stage.
That's why they got rid of Brian Dunkelman.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerk off, won't listen.
Well, Marissa's going to work on that, so we'll put that on hold for a moment. Here is an email that I got. They're looking for a small business shout out.
All right.
It says, hey, bitch.
I like the singular. It's a little more brusque.
I know that we are all doing our best to support small businesses right now, and I think I am so thankful for that. I would love to, if you could give my dad's company a shout out. He thinks shirts are hilarious. His name is Brian Francis. His printing company is called Fort Nassau Graphics in West Deptford. He's doing his best to keep his employees happy. And with all the fear and uncertainty that he's taken it upon himself to start a great project making We Are All In This Together lawn signs and donating proceeds to local food banks. He's an incredibly generous man who wants nothing but the best for his community. And they're also making banners for drive-by birthdays, lawn signs for graduates, thank you signs for essential employees, and so on. And it says also make life-size cardboard cutouts of people if you're bored and you want to prank your kids.
We got to do that, Preston. I wonder if they have Gene Hackman.
They do, but you have to order. You got to put them on layaway. You got to order them ahead of time. FNGDirect.com is the website. And love you, and that's from Rini Russo.
Rini.
And she says, thank you for doing all you do. I am fortunate to be in healthcare working. As scary as the hospital can be, there is such a calming force to listening to you all on my way in. It feels like it makes life feel normal in these uncertain times. She put in
these uncertain times.
In italics. So a shout out, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Well deserved.
Thank you. Yes, Casey.
All right, I'm going to jump in here real quick because I think we're going to move on. But I've owed this shout out for about a week now. I want to give a shout out to Marianne Hughes from her work buddy, John. So there you go.
All right.
That's nice. A shout. Now,
simple, direct, and to the point. Yes.
We are going to move on to our second contestant because this is the only way Marissa can figure out if the problem with the first contestant was on our end or his end.
Okay, so should I do the big intro or should I just say, contestant, if you can hear me, say hi.
Okay.
She said hi.
Did she?
We just couldn't hear her.
Say hi one more time, please.
She's hearing us.
I know.
I can see her saying hi.
And I see her lips moving.
And she's awesome.
Now, my only problem here is if you look here, program 4 is not lighting up. So I don't know if that is the issue.
Okay.
Now, mind you, again, no other show has tried this level of complexity.
No, ever.
I don't know. Maybe shows have. We just are not doing it right. But that's our deflection.
How about another shard out?
Okay.
I can do that.
Talk about those Swedish meatballs again from IKEA.
We could do that. No, hang on. It says, hey, guys, my name is Antonietta, and I hope this email finds you all healthy. I was hoping to get a shard out for my son, Frank Vacharella. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, and his classmates. The Hamilton High School class of 2020 in Hamilton, New Jersey.
Yay!
This year was going so great for him. The last 2 months have been horrible. No senior trip, no prom, no spring sports, and possible no graduation ceremony. And I need my son to smile. A shout out will help. The long version, if possible. We're kind of busy. Casey's, I don't think we can do the long version.
He says we can.
We can?
Yeah,
okay.
We can.
Thank you in advance. Antonietta, that's how you say her name. So here we go.
Yeah!
And Antonietta says, loyal listener for 20 years, stay healthy.
So. And she says also her son and his entire class is really looking forward to round 2 of Isolation Island.
If only.
Yeah.
Listen, a lot of things
that's getting them through.
A lot of things are being canceled. So,
yes.
You know,
and we just want to pile on.
That's all we want to do. So, all right. We're still not ready, are we?
We are. Well, ready is a relative term.
I don't know.
Hey!
Wait. I hear something.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now we can do the intro.
Yay! All right.
Give me some music. Here we go.
Okay,
all right.
Here we go.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Wow.
Dear God.
Doesn't work again.
Okay, our first contestant this morning is originally from Glen Olden, PA. Moved to Nashville 2 years ago to pursue her career in music as a singer and songwriter. Has been singing since she was 7 years old, writing songs since she was 13, and touring since she was 16. And you know what, friend? She's no stranger to us.
No.
She was actually, I'm playing the American Idol music. She was on The Voice.
Yes. Yeah.
And you may have heard her on our show before. Ladies and gentlemen, the unbelievable Audra McLaughlin.
Yay. Hey.
Audra, how you doing?
I'm good. I see a blank screen. Is that supposed to be?
Yeah, that's it. We're
Okay. I just want to make sure. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're wonderful. So you are in Nashville now?
Yeah. So actually, I'm in Delco right now with my family because all of my gigs have been postponed. But I've been in Nashville for 2 years now. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And obviously, you know, you were a contestant on The Voice, and you've done a lot of stuff with us. And then I said we were, Audra's you know, wants to be a part of this, sure, anyone could be a part of it.
As long as they don't work at the radio station or are relatives of us, they can be a part. And she's sent in, and no surprise.
I mean, she got the chops.
She passed the test.
Yeah, and Audra, I didn't realize that you were living in Nashville. Maybe that answers the question on why you haven't been singing the national anthem at the Eagles games lately, because you are, I think, the best of the any of the national anthem singers that I've ever seen in that stadium.
Oh, thank you so much. That's such an honor. Yeah, I haven't been back. I think it's been almost a year singing the national anthem. I've been writing and playing shows, and I just signed a publishing deal and a production deal. So I've been
awesome.
Just you know, busy writing and just trying to get things, you know, up and running. I signed a deal with the guys that work with Trisha Yearwood and Garth Brooks. So things have been going pretty well, but I hope to be back at the Eagles soon because I'm missing the anthem for them.
Well, you know, we need to hook you up with Brittany Taylor, who's down there. She's with Uncommon James and Barry Cavallari. Krista Cavallari, you familiar with that show?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't met them, but I would love to meet them. That'd be awesome.
We can broker that. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah.
Well, Audra is, she's great, but she's still got to bring
still
it.
Still got to compete.
Against everybody else, and we'll see what happens. So, Audra, what are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a song I wrote called On the Other Side of You, if that's okay.
We had one of our finalists on Friday, from yesterday, sang an original piece, so we're looking forward to this. So we're going to be like 30, 45 seconds, something like that, because in the interest of time and getting everybody in, we have to keep it kind of short. So
absolutely. All right.
We are ready when you are. This is Audra McLaughlin. Here we go.
You raised your glass to your lips. You raised your voice like a fist. You raised 100 red flags. You made your bed in the dirt with sticks and stones and a hurt. All broken up, I'll take you back till you found me. Left your sunflowers on the back of the car. Right there, dying while you put out the bar. Now I see that's just who you are. Part of me keeps hoping. Little bit of light will shine through. Never be another side of you. Little most have to respect the kind of love I've given you. Make this pain worth fighting through. I know that I'll find on you. Oh, oh, oh. Swing on the other side of you. Don't show up begging me. 24 KBS, please. Your words of kerosene on the page. I'm about to burn down. There's only one way through.
Yeah!
Oh my God!
Wow. I'm extra honored because I know that song's about me, Audra. It means the world.
Wonderful.
It's
thing.
Really, what it's a just, tribute. I had no idea.
Touching.
I was that inspiring in that kind of way, but it really hits me.
Wow, Audra. Fantastic, as always. Yeah. I hate to keep this short, but we got five other people to get to, okay?
All right, guys. Thank you.
Great.
Soon.
Great
right,
seeing
talk
you.
To Audra McLaughlin from Delco.
She had me at that.
But listen, this doesn't mean the fix is in. Audra's one of the competitors. We've She's heard fantastic. Some really solid people yesterday.
All right, who are we going to go to next? Marissa is getting them set up, so I don't know if we're going to double back and go to David, who I already introduced before, and see if we can get the audio to work. All right, looks like we... Let me check, make sure we have the audio. Can you say hello?
Hello, hello.
Yeah!
Hello.
All right.
Yeah. I already did the big intro. He's a one-man show, really delivers, singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, teacher, and funky white boy from South Jersey. It's David St. James.
Yes, David.
All
right.
David, who also goes by, is it Duct or Duct Tea?
Duct Tape.
Duct tape. So you go by Duct Tape.
I love that.
I love it.
You're a name that stick.
So you're a teacher? What kind of teacher, David?
Music.
Do you teach for high school or what?
Well, right now, Preston, thanks for asking. I will be teaching on Facebook video calls for $1 a minute. Give me a call and I'll give you a lesson.
So okay. You'll teach any kind of, I assume, guitar. It looks like you have a whole bunch of keyboards. It just all instruments are up for grabs.
Yes, sir. All right. Teach voice, guitar, piano, any instruments.
You have a little bit of a delay, slapback effect on your voice. No, that's on purpose, I assume, right?
Yes. Yeah. My headphones broke last night, so this cable on my headphones are so short I can't reach my reverb right now. I was only going to use it for thing, but you know.
Dude, that's no problem.
All right. So you're a multi instrumentalist. What instrument are you going to be playing and singing along with as well?
Preston, last night I recorded the drums, the bass, and the keyboards myself. Everything you're about to hear, I did entirely myself.
Okay. All right. And the guitar is going to be live?
The guitar is all live, and voice is all live.
All right.
No, auto-tune or anything like that. It's all right.
And by the way, David, and we point this out, if you do want to record a track that goes along with you, you can certainly do that.
All right. And David, is this an original piece or are you playing a song we would know?
I'm going to do Wild Horses.
Ooh. Ah, wonderful song. All right. Let's hear what you got. David St. James, Duct Tape.
Childhood living. It's easy to do. Some things you wanted. Oh, baby, I bought them for you. Oh, wild horses couldn't drag me away. Wild, wild horses, we'll ride them someday.
Oh, yeah, man. That was tasty.
Loved it.
Nice Thank work, you. David. Excellent.
Thank you very much.
All right, we are very happy to hear that performance, and we'll see how you do. All right, my man?
I appreciate it. Thanks to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, that's awesome, man.
If he wins the $500, he can get a cord replacement.
He sounded great.
He did. Yeah.
I really enjoyed him playing along with the guitar. It's very tasteful, and adding a little bit of the effect there was kind of nice as well. But he had
great song choice, too.
He had a good voice, a really good song. So a couple of texts coming in saying, hey, love Audra. You know, she's a ringer. She's a professional. And you know what? David's a professional, too.
Yeah.
He's a he makes money. And we never said that you couldn't be a professional musician.
Never said that.
We're just simply not unlike some of the shows, like The Voice or
American Idol.
Or the
American
ones
Idol,
we don't watch. Yeah, all singer, the ones so, we don't watch.
So all those shows we don't watch. America's Got Talent.
Yeah. We just know you can be a professional.
You can absolutely be a professional. So.
Or, though, I'll tell you this. We've had already amateurs yesterday who stepped up or sounding good. That's the whole beauty of this, Preston.
Yep.
We don't know what we're doing.
Exactly. But amateurs can go up against pros, and you never know. We might find that diamond in the rough.
Pros before hoes.
It's what they say. All right. So we're getting our next contestant up and running, and it looks like he is ready to go. Case, is it? Yeah, this is the one we're going to. I can tell. All right, so our next guest is a preschool / kindergarten music teacher at the Kinder Work School in Limerick.
That's where I went.
And he said he's been playing the cello since he was around 8 years old, and classical music is by far my favorite genre.
Oh.
His wife and he live in Phoenixville along with their 3-month-old daughter, Carly May. Great name. And since school's been closed for the rest of the year, he said, I get to be home alone with her all day, which is simultaneously awesome and terrifying. And then he adds, go Birds!
Yeah!
At the end. So, from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, please welcome Greg!
Greg!
To the show this morning. Hey, Greg, how you doing, bud?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. This is pretty cool.
Our pleasure to do so. Now, you, I think, are the only cellist that we're going to have. And I haven't seen all the contestants, so you never know. There could be another cellist. And you are a preschool and kindergarten music teacher, you said?
Yeah, you know, I set out actually to go to college to become a high school and then eventually a college professor. And I took a job teaching preschool and kindergarten. And within 2 months, it was what I was meant to do.
You fell in love with it.
Listen, I remember actually, Greg, in kindergarten, we had a music class that we would go to. And I clearly remember the day that I learned the note values in that class. You know, quarter notes, whole notes, half notes, and so on. And I just picked up on it immediately, and I'll never forget it. It was very impactful in my life, actually. So what you do is a great thing. Do you happen to see that? You see the kids light up sometimes when they get it?
Well, that's why I love it so much. You know, my brother is a high school teacher, and we joke. He's like, my students hate me and rebel against me. Your students love you, and all they want to do is sing and dance all day, which is true.
Quick question. When you answer your phone, do you say, cello?
That's very good. That's
yeah,
very good.
I would assume because you're known for your cello.
Yeah.
First time I've heard that. Oh, no. If you look, my daughter, Charlie, her name is Charlie, by the way. Oh, my goodness.
She's very, very little.
Look at you using the baby to try and get points with the judges.
My wife is listening. Her name is Charlie May, not Carly.
Charlie.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's going to, I just put her out there. She's going to have a fitment.
Just put the baby out in the back.
Okay.
Just put her outside.
By the way, the only real name I know in the world of cellos is Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are amazing cellists that we don't know of. Who do you look to for inspiration in the world of cello play?
You know, there's actually a cellist, and I'm not making this up. His name is Mark Summer, not Summers, obviously.
Yeah.
He's a cellist with the Turtle Island String Quartet. He's a very progressive cellist, and they're a very progressive string quartet, and they're incredible.
What about the Cellinator?
Kino.
Yeah, that was it. Was another electric cello.
Yeah.
All right, we see an empty chair now.
Well, he's moving the baby.
Okay.
So he stepped out of the room.
Oh, he's going to breastfeed the baby, right?
No, he's not going to breastfeed the baby. All right, so we got to move this along. Greg, what piece are you going to be playing for us?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing a piece called The Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns from the Carnival of the Animals. And Saint-Saëns was a romantic composer, and he composed this as a joke, actually. And it's the only one of the Carnival of the Animals that he allowed to be recorded when he was alive.
Yeah, Casey was just talking about this.
Yeah. All right. And so we'll have Greg with Charlie on backup vocals, crying from the other room.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. We will pay attention to the important part you playing. So Greg, whenever you're ready, we're ready.
Thank you. Yep.
Piece of culture and classical music this morning from Greg. Greg, good work, sir. We will discuss your performance and let you know how you do, okay?
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. You guys rock.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. That was cool. Greg, real culture.
Phoenixville. Yes, Kathy?
Go pick up the baby now.
Kathy, you couldn't see it, but he was using the bow to rock the cradle.
Yeah. Maybe he was lulling her into a nice sleep. So sometimes in a little lullaby, which is why he chose a very light piece of music for us this morning. All right, we have three more contestants to go. We're working our way through them. And keep in mind that the way this is going to happen is during the commercial break, we, the judges, will have a discussion. We're writing down individual scores here as to how we think their performances are. And remember, these, they have to compete against each other. So we have to keep that in mind. Whenever, if you've ever had to judge a talent competition, you have to kind of weight your scores and maybe start off scoring a little bit low and then compare that to the rest of the performances.
That's the way you do it because you have to take everything in context. I'll tell you what, though. We have not had a stinker in the lot so far. Everyone's got their talent. I mean, that was a hell of a cello situation.
Yes, it was. All right, so our next contestant is in a rock cover band called Band of Marks. made up of three guys, and they are all named Mark. And this Mark is an engineer for New Jersey American Water, currently working from home. So please welcome from Gibbsboro, New Jersey, Mark Wright.
Mark.
Woo! Woo! Yeah. Hey, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I love the vintage WMMR t-shirt you are wearing right now. Did you get that? Did you get that from our rock shop?
Yep.
I asked for one of those shirts and I never got one of those shirts.
Come on. Who the hell do you think you are?
I know. Hey, Mark, so in your band, Band of Marks, what is your role?
So we're a three-piece. I play guitar, but right now our bassist is kind of on leave because he just had twins. Okay. So we're doing like a duo thing with me. The drummer's my dad. So it's me and my dad, and we got kind of like a reverse royal blood thing going where I play guitar and it sends a signal to the bass. And so it sounds like a full band still, just the two of us.
Okay. You have quite a setup. Is this your basement we're looking at here?
It's my garage.
Okay, yeah. You got
a
nice band setup. That's cool.
Yeah. Good looking studio. Okay, so, but you're not going to play guitar or bass this morning, are you?
No, I'm going to play piano. So I've been playing piano for a little while. I'm mainly a guitar player, but I think the piano kind of lends itself to this kind of setup.
Yeah, there are technical, obviously we have the best that we can work for doing this live, but there are technical limitations, as we learned yesterday with a blazing drum solo.
Yeah.
But you're probably right.
So what are you going to be performing for us, Mark?
So I'll be playing Somewhere Only We Know by Keane, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to do the hook.
Okay. That sounds perfect, because we'll give you, 30 to 45 seconds or so. All right, Mark from Gibbsboro, New Jersey. Let's hear you perform, please.
All right.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, man, that was great.
That was beautiful.
Really great. That sound you're hearing, by the way, is the compression of the signal, obviously. They're not all on ventilators.
That comes through. But we're getting the gist of it, and hence is the thing. Normally, we would have everybody in our studio to perform, but the way the world is right now, this is how it's being done.
We don't know how diseased you are.
We have no idea. Yeah. Get your filthy body out of our studio. hey, Mark, nice job, sir. We're impressed.
Yes, very good.
We'll let you know how you do. It's Mark Wright from Gibbsboro, New Jersey.
Good song choice.
Yeah. I agree. He sounded great. The quality, audio quality was off just a tad bit, but you could hear the projection in his voice.
And we ask you, when we turn this over to America to judge, America, i.e. Pennsylvania, and actually more specifically the Philadelphia area, when you vote, keep that into consideration.
Yeah. Think about the performance and hear what you can. You guys, Kathy, Nick, at home, any comments so far? What a decisive judge.
Mark wasn't for me.
Okay.
No one ever is for you. So that's
he was a little pitchy. No, I don't know.
You're the weighted balance.
I don't know what that means. I'm just saying that.
I think I'm the opposite of Kathy. I think I'm really easily pleased and impressed by talent and all of the contestants we've had, even if their audio hasn't been great. I'm just so impressed by their ability to sing and play the piano at the same time and carry a tune. And
I
loved what Greg did with the baby in the room playing the cello. I thought Mark did an awesome job as well. So I'm having a really tough time. I think they're all great so far.
Well, Nick, we're in a boat floating on a sea of talent, and Kathy's our anchor.
Yeah.
So yep. There we go.
And I was, you
I'm
know,
still
I,
waiting for somebody good.
No, I disagree with you, Kathy, because I do know that song. That Mark sang. I'm familiar with Band Keen, and I thought, despite the audio issues that we were having with the cyclone or cylon, whatever was going on, he was totally on tune and on point with the song.
I agree.
She's just upset because we found out that she really couldn't make ice cream cones.
All right, so our next contestant is a drummer. Been playing for 21 years now. Some of his drum heroes are Danny Carey of Tool, Mike Portnoy, Dream Theater's birthday yesterday.
Good stuff.
Carter Beaufort, the amazing drummer from Dave Matthews Band, and Stuart Copeland, the incomparable drummer of The Police. Just to name a few, he said, I'm about to be a father to a baby boy.
Aww.
And I'm a huge fan of the President and Steve Show. P.S. This is awesome. Please welcome from Perky Omenville, Ryan.
Ryan!
Good morning, Ryan.
What's up? Can you hear me?
Hey,
yes.
We can hear you, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. This is amazing.
Well, excellent. And you've been playing for 21 years, and I'm looking at your drum kit here. Are you, do you live in your own home, I assume?
Yeah, I'm in a townhome. So
a townhome.
At 8 a.m. in the morning, but I got the approval from the neighbor, so we're good.
You're a good neighbor that you went and asked, because glad. Some people would be inconsiderate and just start thrashing away.
When do you get, if you live in a townhome, when do you get a chance to practice? Because even if, it's in the middle of the afternoon, that can still make a lot of racket.
I try to keep it to an hour. I usually play after work or between like 5. I try to keep it no later than 8 o'clock just to be courteous to my neighbors, you know?
Okay. We're looking at the video of you. You're a lefty, I see.
I am.
Not many left-handed drummers, and you decided with a full left-handed setup as opposed to playing open sticking, which some left-handed drummers do. So this will be interesting to watch it. What are you going to – are you doing a free-form solo, or do you have something prepared for us?
Just a more like a free-form solo improv thing.
Okay. Right. So just a question here. We had an issue with it overwhelming the drum kit yesterday, overwhelming the audio, and how it doesn't look like the mic is that far away from the drums. Have you tried this out before, or do you think you have a good...
Yesterday, I tried the phone. I tried the laptop. So
all right.
Couple friends said the phone is better, so fingers crossed this doesn't sound horrible.
Well, let's go for it.
Hit the snare drum a couple times real quick. Let's just hear that if you don't mind. All right, it sounds like it might be a little bit better than the guy.
It's a little pitchy.
It's a little pitchy. Tune up that rack, Tom, a little bit. No. All right. Ryan, so we're going to give you 30, 45 seconds. So when you're ready, let's hear what you got, okay? This is Ryan from Perky Omenville on the drums.
Yeah.
I know what he was doing. All right.
What was he doing?
Nice, Ryan. He was doing a little Ray Luzier trick on the ride cymbal where you hit it, it makes a ding noise, and then you cup your hand, you go back and forth, and it kind of gives it a little wah-wah type of sound to
okay.
it. But we couldn't really hear that over it, but we were watching him, and I
saw
him.
So you knew. You appreciate it. So just visually, what you see... Because it sounded good.
Well done.
Yeah.
Very rhythmic, a lot of what we call linear drumming, and I thought it had a nice little groove to it. Very cool. It was still hard to catch all the intricacies and the sounds of what should have been coming out of that drum kit, but very solid, Ryan. Thanks for playing this morning. We appreciate it, man.
All right.
Good luck to you. We'll let you know how you did. Yeah,
tell your neighbors they can go back to sleep.
Yeah, he's definitely got rhythm. That was a cool little solo. He kept it. The guy we had yesterday was really going, doing a lot of hard metal fast stuff. Ryan was going with a little more like a funky feel to it. So nice job, though. All right. That means we have one more contestant to go. And just in time, if we can get them on board, we'll have to get to them, take a break, come back real quick and get our guests on.
Yes.
You think we can make that happen?
Yep.
All right. We are waiting. As soon as I see her face, I will begin the intro. You know what? I'll go ahead and start the intro now because I can see her there. She is a married mother, 4 kids, was a performer once upon a time, but has primarily produced and directed shows for kids, which led to her opening her own theater company called Limelight Performance Arts Studio.
Huh.
She said, I also run a summer theater camp called Westchester Summer Stage. At 50 years old, I am ready to let others take over my programs while I get back to my singing, performing career. I do a lot of writing and comedic work as well.
Cool.
I had a video that went viral in 2015 with 16 million views. From Exton, PA, let's welcome Anne this morning. Hi, Anne. How you doing? Oh, no.
I didn't have her up. It's my
Anne, phone. Now, okay, there we go. Anne, first of all, welcome. And second of all, what was your 16 million view video?
Oh, I feel bad. My poor son can't live this down, but he went off to college and we didn't hear from him for like 3 weeks. So I put a video up on Facebook and it kind of blew up.
Wow. Okay.
I remember it was very, very like a passive aggressive.
Guilt trip, 12 years in Catholic school.
Oh, my God. I totally remembered that. That was you?
Yeah.
That's great. Thank God you didn't say, well, I was with another girl in a cup.
Because that one went big, too.
That went big, too. But I like what you did better.
16 million views. Unbelievable. All right. Well, listen, unfortunately, we're pretty short on time, so I want to get right to the performance. And by the way, are you singing with any groups or anything like that right now?
No, I'm singing by myself. I'm at my theater. I got a little karaoke going on because, you know.
It's very nice.
What are you going to perform for us this morning, Ann?
Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Oh, outstanding. A classic. All right. We'll give you about, 30, 45 seconds. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. This is Ann from Exton, guys. Here we go.
I'm sailing right behind. Sorry, I'm on the wrong. I got to keep singing by myself.
No problem.
Okay. Oh, if you need a friend, I'm sailing right
Didn't matter. The acapella rock.
It might have been better without the music. That was fantastic.
Well, it shortened it up for sure.
Yeah.
Well done, Anne. All right. We will discuss and we will let you know how you do. Thank you so much for being a part of this live performance this morning.
And Nick, too, for all their hard work.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Anne.
Yeah.
In Exton. And powerful yet tender.
Yep.
She had a very, very strong delivery.
Sweet yet savory.
I could feel that all the way over here. Man. Yeah. All right.
We're left with quite a conundrum here.
Kathy, you hated it, I'm sure, right?
No. Okay. No, listen, and I didn't hate Mark either. I was joking, by the way. I feel bad.
All right, well, listen, we had six performances. We had David, Audra, Mark, Greg, Ann, and Ryan, and now we have some decisions to make. So that is what we are going to do. This is what we call Isolation Idol, by the way. We are doing 4 days of this, and that's how it works. It's people performing at home. We'd have him here in the studio if we could, but this is the nature of the way things are right now. So you get what you get. And we've even seen the absolute greatest performers in the world.
Yes, we have.
Have to deal with a wonky sounding technical issue, and they do it anyway. So that's why we're doing it this way.
The playing field is even.
So when we return, we will let you know who the two finalists are going to be that move on to join all eight on this coming Friday. And then it's up to you, my friend, you who is listening right now. You get to place a vote and determine who the winner will be at the end of it all.
Wow.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Actor Ed Begley Jr. will be joining us. Another shot at MMR's Rock Refund on the way at 10 a.m. and more. Make sure that you stay close. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Five Finger Death Punch. Blue Stones. Now I'm shaking off the rush. Disturbed.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Our next guest is on to remind us, and it's important that tomorrow is Earth Day, and obviously we're going to talk about his acting career and drama, comedy, whatever.
Everything.
He's fantastic.
He does it all.
He does do it all. And Better Call Saul. Was the wrap-up of that last night?
God, you know what? I hope not, man.
Because I think it was.
Yeah, finale was last night.
One more hour. Just give me one more hour.
One more
hour. That's all I want.
All right. Well, let's please welcome to the show this morning, Mr. Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah.
Ed, good morning to you.
Preston, Steve, thanks for having me on. I love Better Call Saul. Wasn't that a great episode, end of the season?
Now, I haven't seen it yet. Casey here next to me is
I'm all caught up.
Diehard fan. He's all caught up, but you were hoping for more?
I mean, it's a major cliffhanger. And obviously, you know, all of the seasons sort of end that way, and they leave you wanting more. But, man, last night was intense, to say the least.
Totally intense. I love that show. Even if I wasn't on it, I'd be watching that one.
Well, you're on two shows. You're also on Bless This Mess.
That's right. I'm very lucky to be on that show as well with Liz Merriweather, Lake Bell, all those great people who created that, and Dax Shepard. It's just a great time doing that show. And the wonderful Pam Grier. How lucky am I to be working with Pam Grier?
Unbelievable, Ed. I just over the past couple of weeks, I'm a huge fan of the blaxploitation movies of the 70s and the great filmmakers. And Pam Grier did so much great work, and that is so cool.
Yeah, I'm blessed. I've been a fan of hers for many, many years. Been in love with her from a distance. Now I get to be in love with her up close and personal.
Well, you know, for years, ever since... You know, I can remember and being aware of your career. You were an environmentalist, and you walked the walk right from the get-go. And you always came at trying to bring people on board in a very inviting way. And I always appreciated that about you and how you approach things like Earth Day. I think people are more likely to listen to you because you sort of extend a hand and come at people in a way like, don't we kind of all want this? And I think it's a good message, and I've always admired the way you tell it.
You know, thank you for that. I got it from my dad. He was a conservative that liked to conserve. He lived through the Great Depression. You know, he was the son of Irish immigrants. He turned off the lights and turned off the water and saved string and saved tinfoil. So he died within a few days of the first Earth Day. And he always said, Eddie, I'm interested in what you're against, because I was against the smog. I lived 2 decades with that smog. He said, but what are you for? You're against the smog, but what are you for? So I did everything that I could afford, and I was a broken, struggling actor back then. I couldn't afford fancy stuff, so I started recycling and composting, riding my bike, taking public transportation. All of it was very affordable. And not only did I do something for the environment, but I saw that I was saving money, so I stayed with it.
Well, you know, and in that, so for example, when the first electric cars started to come out, and they weren't, you know, some weren't all that great, and then you had companies that sort of realized that people also want sexy cars and cars that, you know, have a little bit of panache to them. And now, you know, I myself am looking at that as the potential next car. And I myself am looking at, you know, solar panels and things like that. Stuff that you have been championing for quite a long time. I think a lot of people are saying, yeah, why not? This does make sense.
It's a good way to live for the long term. A lot of this stuff, you know, is very affordable right away, but some of it costs more, like solar panels. I wanted those back in 1970. But I couldn't afford them, so I didn't get them. It took me 15 years to afford solar. And so I started doing this stuff, you know, picking the low-hanging fruit first back when I started. You don't run up to Mount Everest. You get the base camp and you get acclimated and do what you can.
Right.
And after a few years of doing it, I could afford to do some of the big-ticket items. Now I drive a Tesla, which is a great car. And I got 9 kilowatts of solar on my roof, so I can live for very little money here at my house. Because I invested in these green technologies that cut down my monthly.
Hey, Ed, I wanted to ask, because I know that you that you raise a garden, you grow things, you're very self-sustaining in that regard. My family and I have flirted with the idea of starting a garden, and I've stopped and gone, wait a minute, who am I kidding? I'm never going to take care of that. I'm never... What can you give me as a tip as somebody who is apprehensive on starting their own garden?
If you have room for a garden, hopefully you also have room for compost. You take all your table scraps and leaves and grass clippings, whatever you got, sawdust, put it all in a pile, half brown and half green, and you keep it wet. You have perfect compost every time. And you turn it a bit. Put it in a drum where you can turn it that way, in a pile, and you turn it with a pitchfork or a shovel. So that's what you do. If you've got good soil, that's nearly the whole battle right there. you put those seeds in good soil or plants if you get them in the nursery. And now where I live, I got to do a little extra because we got squirrels in these trees. So I have these modular cages that I made, you know, these like fence pieces that are held together with bungee cords so you can pull them apart quickly. So that's what I have. I have four sides and a top. I can grow all kinds of food, and the squirrels are, some people have deer, some people have other raccoons and stuff or what have you. And that's a good way to do it. The critters will get you if you're not careful. Mm. And I don't use any pesticides or herbicides. I put a little soapy water on it, stuff like that, different sprays that are non-toxic, and it works great. And I have great food to the table.
Yeah, we're looking at you. You've a picture of your setup. It's kind of badass, and it looks like you're producing a lot of food. So, yeah, and and there's a sense, I assume, you know, again, we flirted with it. We've tried it a few times, but there's a sense of accomplishment when you're growing your own food and you're taking care of yourself, and you're sort of, you know, anybody who's sort of drawn to the survivalist attitude or mentality, this is maybe less austere, but you're still getting the end result. You're in charge of a lot of your food, of your energy, of how you're living your life, and that gives you a sense of autonomy.
Exactly. And I, you know, there's nothing like the taste of fresh corn, really fresh corn, just picked, fresh tomatoes, fresh lettuce, all those great vegetables. And if you take it a step further with your water, I have room for a water tank. You know, I put it underground, an underground water tank. So I have all that rainwater going in there. I got 10,000 gallons of water in my garden, and for, you know, survival if the water ever goes off and, you know, the power goes off, I got the solar, the water goes off. I got that rainwater stored. I got a gray water system to irrigate a lot of the property too.
Yeah. Ed, it's 50 years of Earth Day tomorrow. With that, and you obviously clearly remember when it first started because you were telling us about your father passing. What are you happy about 50 years on about Earth Day and how we progressed?
It can't all be bad news. You got to remind people of the good news. Even though we have four times the cars in L.A. and millions more people from 1970, we have a fraction of the smog. It's much, 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 much less. Because of all the things we did, catalytic converters on cars, cleaner power plants, spray paint booths, all that stuff, big and small, that we did work, and we have cleaner air. So we need to continue that kind of stuff because there's a lot of jobs doing a lot of these green technologies.
I like to accentuate the positive. And you had mentioned your dad, Ed Begley, and I happened to come across 12 Angry Men, which is such a great movie. And he is, a lot of people may not be familiar with what a great actor Ed Begley was. And, do you yourself find yourself sometimes dipping into his library of work?
I do. 12 Angry Men is a classic. Sweetheart of Youth, he won the Oscar for that one. Patterns is another great one. He did incredible work his whole life. And if he had been a plumber, I'd be fitting pipe now. I just want to do what my dad did. He's a great guy and a great teacher.
I'm sure he was proud. I got to tell you, not a week goes by we're not quoting something from the Christopher Guest collection of films in which you appear prominently. Being a part of that ensemble has to be something that's really cool. Is there one film in particular, though, where you just say, that was the money shot? That's the one I love the most.
Best in Show is my favorite. Yeah. I'll be a little bit self-serving, and I'll go for Best in Show because I was in that one.
Yeah.
and you were in Philadelphia, in our town, or at least we were supposed to be. I don't know if you guys actually filmed here or not, but it was great.
That's right.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, listen.
Vancouver, of course, but.
Ed, we appreciate you checking in. We love your work, and we're happy that you're as committed to the cause as you are. So have a great day, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Preston.
You got it. Ed Begley, yay! Jr., guys. Earth Day tomorrow, 50 years. Yeah, I was thinking of his character, and somebody had texted him, which I didn't realize. It's been so long since I've seen Spinal Tap. I really need to go back and watch it. But somebody said, don't forget about Ed Begley's greatest role as one of the many drummers of Spinal Tap, John Stumpy Peeps. I didn't know he was in Spinal Tap.
He's in Spinal Tap. He's in Best of Show. He's in A Mighty Wind. He's in For Your Consideration. And if you look at his list of movies, Blue Collar, Officer and a Gentleman, a movie that I think is...
Officer and a Gentleman?
Yeah, Batman Forever, Autofocus, Preston. You remember him in Autofocus?
Ed, who was he in Autofocus? Man, he plays in so many things.
He's a go-to.
He's a character, usually, and so sometimes, there's not a lot of screen time, sometimes longer than others, obviously, but Like, I don't remember him in Officer and Gentleman. I have to go back and look at these things.
Now, the movie She-Devil, you have Roseanne Barr looking as horrible. And just if you hate Roseanne Barr, that this is a movie not to watch. However, what it should be watched for is Meryl Streep's performance, because she steals Ed Begley Jr. from Roseanne. And Meryl Streep's performance is so effing funny.
Really?
As her life comes crashing down.
Okay.
As this pompous, self-involved author, and self-help guru. It's hilarious.
Wow. All right, well, listen, I hate to do this, but we've got to cut some people loose, and we have to award some people.
I was trying to avoid.
It's hard to do, man, as
honestly,
a judge.
This cluster, and yesterday, but I mean, razor thin separation, the numbers came out as the numbers came out.
Yeah, so we had Isolation Idol performances just a moment ago. We had six people for him. We had David, Audra, Greg, Mark, Ryan, and we had a few vocalists, a cellist, a drummer, some people playing instruments while they performed, and we had a hard time deciding. It was a split decision. But we did have two people that ended up getting the most votes. The way we kind of rank it is we here, the judges, will pick the two that we think should be the finalists, and then we write down who all we voted for, and whoever got the most votes ends up moving on, and that's just how it goes. So we thank everybody for their performances. But moving on to Friday, getting the golden ticket to our finals, our first contestant announced is David St. James.
Yeah.
Also known as Duct Tape. He is a singer and songwriter and guitarist, and he sang Wild Horses for us, and he did a great job. And then also moving on, Audra McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And I know some people are going to have some issues with that because she's an established singer, but...
So is David.
None of our rules said anything about no professionals allowed.
All of these guys are established.
It's true.
We have teachers and singers and, people who run theaters and all that sort of stuff.
Greg was excellent with the cello.
Yeah.
Mark was excellent with his cello. And Anne blew the roof off the house with
Anne's powerful voice.
Powerful voice.
And Ryan's a great drummer. I could absolutely tell. I'm sure he's better than I am. He was tearing it up. So, and you don't need to be that great to be better than me. So I didn't mean it like that.
Not true.
But anyhow, we thank you guys. And I'm sorry. I wish all of you could be in our
Jesus,
finals. It's just the way it goes.
It makes you really appreciate Brian Dunkelman.
So David and Audra move on to join Nicole and Kira so far in the finals on Friday. So we'll have performances on Friday that you will get to vote for. And if you didn't like our choices here, then you get to finally make the call.
Send an angry email to Bill Weston.
No. Did you guys see the video of the person talking? I think it was in the Senate, or it was in a public forum talking about the third leg of the stool.
Yes.
No.
Okay, I tweeted it out last night. Somebody tweeted it. All of us. I retweeted that guy's tweet, and it's a very serious news conference. but I found myself laughing out loud because the guy references the third leg of the stool.
And I will point out, Ed Begley Jr. just said low hanging fruit.
He was actually talking about fruit.
Yeah.
But if Marissa could grab that audio, it's pretty amusing. It'll be amusing to us anyway.
I didn't know April 21st was Bill Weston Day.
Yes.
Apparently it is. Talk like Bill Weston Day.
I'm sick of that.
Anybody ready to be homeschooled today?
Oh, my God.
I like the way your hair's growing.
Speaking of homeschooled, and Kathy, here you go. Here goes Rochelle again. Yesterday, we got something in the mail. I opened it up, and I'm like, it's home economics. And I'm like, why do we have a book about home economics? She's like, because I'm going to teach the kids home ec.
Oh, wow. Can we send Jace over?
Right, exactly. So everything from cooking to sewing to, whatever, fixing things around the house and stuff like that. So apparently that's going to be starting.
In your defense, Kathy, I hear about all different activities and things that you're doing with Jace. So you're keeping him engaged, but honestly, it's time to tell Rochelle to knock it off.
I know.
Seriously.
Repairing everything in the house.
They're going to school twice. I'd be so pissed right now.
Yeah.
I'd be so mad. It's like, dude, I already got done school.
She's making everyone look bad.
Yeah, you're making me go to school twice.
So, Preston, Ben's school, they had just shifted into the cooking section for home ec, and then school ended. So they completely got gypped out of baking and cooking and everything like that. So if Jace is coming over to your house, I want Ben to come over as well. But but there are a bunch of different versions of home ec. So they're going to do the cooking. Are they also going to do like the sewing and needlepoint knitting and things like that?
Yeah, okay, maybe. I wish I didn't take home ec.
I did. I
in
took
high school.
They called it Bachelor of Sciences.
Oh. Bachelor Sciences.
Yes. And so that's how they phrased it. And they did teach cooking, and I loved it. We did a lot of baking, which I think I probably prefer more.
In hindsight, I wish high school kind of would have been that, and how to balance your checkbook and how to invest your money, like stuff I would really end up needing to do as an adult, not necessarily focus on what my career was going to be, because I had no idea what kind of career I wanted to have anyway.
And DBH.
And DBH, wow. Well, we'd learned that on our own.
Homeschool.
I wish I would have taken classes that taught those more practical type of things, you know?
Yeah, we didn't have any type of, we didn't have wood shop, home ec. We didn't have, none of those classes were even offered in my high school.
Really? To Sir With Love.
Yeah.
To Sir With Love.
Yeah.
That was a requirement. We had to take at
to watch
least...
To Sir With Love?
No. Like Casey's saying, he didn't have woodshop or home ec or any of that. We had to take at least
one of that. You probably had theology and stuff like
we
that,
we had religion,
right?
and that you was a required course to take every single year.
Case,
so, yeah.
One of the... Preston, you'll agree with this. I took typing in school.
Oh, yeah.
And I've used it all my life.
Yeah.
And so if you talk about those practical life lessons,
yes.
Again, the bulk and base of knowledge and things that you should know, the classics and so on and so forth, yes, that's essential as well.
Yeah.
But the things that are applicable to everyday existence are things that should not be overlooked.
I think what my children need to be taught, and I think a lot of people out there will agree with this, is they need to be taught how to... throw out the trash when the trash gets to the top of the trash can. To not step over things on the floor. That when you take off an article of clothing, that it doesn't just lay on the ground where you decided to take it
off. You're the new Bill Cosby.
So funny. Listen, my son is like, I'm starting to call
Let me tell you about my kids.
I'm starting to call him Bert Kreischer because he does not wear a shirt like ever. And the funniest part is... You know exactly where he decided he didn't feel like wearing a shirt anymore because that's where his shirt
is. Where
it's on the kitchen floor or in the hallway or on, you know, like, I'm like, okay, I guess you decided not to wear a shirt in the kitchen this morning.
Mm. Hey, Steve, going back to the typing class, I think that was one of the best classes I ever took in high school, and I was absent on the day that we learned numbers. So I can type. I can type pretty fast, but I've got to look down at the keyboard for the numbers.
I mean, and so you pick up little hacks that you do yourself and little cheats, but the basic core of typing, thank God, because I still see people doing hunt and peck, and no.
Jim Antes used to work here.
Yes.
Did you ever see him type?
Yes.
Okay. He had, I think it was... all of his left hand and his right index finger, and that's how he typed.
There are some well-known authors. I mean, people that type and write for a living that will use their index fingers,
like
fly.
Yes,
but I mean, it's some people have their. I have my own bizarre little style.
And people like to, you know, everybody grips their pen or pencil differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I remember watching some kids; they would grip their pencil or pen with like all five of their fingertips, that's just the way they like to do it.
Marissa has a weird pencil grip of some type. I think you go like
it's like
this
a bird of prey.
Down to her ring finger.
Yeah,
she uses
that. Wasn't that like that was pretty strict in Catholic school? Right?
Oh yeah,
penmanship.
Well,
holding the pencil the correct way.
There was even a song. I forget how it goes.
Hold the pen the way Jesus does. Jesus does. Hold the pen the way Jesus does. Every day.
There was also... Do you guys remember that thing you would stick on your pencil? It was like a triangle.
Yeah, put the triangle on your pen like Jesus does. Jesus does. Jesus does.
Yeah, it was a grip.
I always wanted one of those. I didn't need it.
Case, me too. I always wanted one. And my mom was like, no, you don't need it. You're holding the pencil properly.
Yeah, Rockefeller, you think we can afford a triangle for your pen?
Maybe Casey, I feel bad that you didn't have home ec. I think you would have really enjoyed those classes because, you know, some of that stuff speaks to your strengths, and I think you might have, you know, you probably would have been pretty good at a bunch of those
things. Nick, we were able to make cupcakes in school and then eat them.
Marissa?
Do any of you guys have a little dent in your finger from where you hold your pen?
Yeah.
Yes. My right hand.
No.
My middle finger.
That's, I call that my Jesus dent.
Yeah.
Wait,
no, on your ring finger?
I don't have a Jesus dent.
No, my dent's on the middle finger, but...
Yeah, middle finger.
Mine's not as much anymore because I don't write that much.
Oh, okay. I have like a big one on my ring finger. Like,
yeah, because you're not holding it properly.
I have rings on my fingers and bells on my toes.
Hang on a second. Let me go to James. Went to had the bachelor living class.
Yeah.
Hi, James. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, James?
Hey, man. Yeah, we had bachelor living back in high school. And, yeah, they taught you how to do laundry. They taught you how to do your checkbooks.
Yes.
We had cooking one, cooking two.
Nice.
And at the time in that class, if you remember Chef Tell Airway.
Chef Tell. I remember Chef Tell.
And, James, didn't they also tell you how to hide your feelings and not express yourself?
Oh, constantly. That's why I'm such a wreck.
The Bachelor.
Is this the Godfather of Soil by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Yeah!
James Brown.
James Brown, the Godfather of Soil.
How's everybody feeling?
How are you doing, James? Are you working?
Oh, yes. We're able to get outside and do a little bit of maintenance. That's about it.
But all right,
we're,
man.
We're able to do some stuff. Thank
all
you.
Right. Hang in there, man.
All right, cool, buddy.
You
thanks,
guys.
Man.
Have a good one. Great hearing you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You
later.
Everybody in James's company, if you're in a truck, you have to listen to MMR. That's the rule for the company.
I love
he's
James.
A good man. Yeah.
Godfather of Soil. I love
what,
that.
What class was it where they had you take like an egg and pretend it was a baby?
Oh, yeah.
Or
you know what? That was...
It was like health, right?
Yeah, it was...
It was gym.
No, I think it was in my school at
social
least it was I forget what the name of the class was, but it was kids that wanted to go on to become teachers.
Oh, okay.
Not chickens?
I remember I just remember students people walking around with an egg that they put drew a face on.
It was called chickenry.
You know who's a teacher?
Gene Simmons. Students, today we're going to have you raise an egg up to completion and it'll become a full chicken. You'll rear a chicken, and I don't mean in a sexual way, though I have done that a few times in a hotel.
I want to say that there was a class that had incubators with eggs.
We did. Oh, yeah. Science we had. We had the incubators and the eggs, hatched. Oh. We had
and then he killed the chickens and looked at them in biology. Yeah, yeah.
Well, who wants a rotisserie chicken?
That is a good question. Well, I don't know what we did with our chickens after they hatched.
You clubbed them to death.
Mm. I don't remember clubbing them to death. I do remember. Do they, what do you call it, dissect things anymore?
Yeah.
Hey, we're standing over there with the scum there with the frog that you got sprayed there.
I sounded like SpongeBob there.
kids, today we're going to get some animals and cut them up over there.
They do dissect things still?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, though, more often than not, kids are allowed to bow out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like so easy to get out of it now.
Right.
You know, if you it's against
just say
what you
one of your relatives was a frog.
Makes you sick. Yeah, they do. They still do frogs and pigs. And
they do pigs?
Fetal pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember in our biology class, God, biology class, it just smelled like formaldehyde.
Yeah.
And they had, and they just had dead animals in jars.
And old substitute teachers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, I don't even know how we got on this
conversation. Mrs. Petrie laid out on the table.
Wait, let's see if we can figure out how we got here.
Rochelle.
Yeah. Oh, that was it. Yeah. Yeah.
Doing a home
ec. Why did I call her Rochelle?
I know.
Rochelle.
That's all right. Hey, Kat. Hey, Rochelle, this is Calvin. What y'all doing over there on the holidays, real?
That's what I call her when I get mad at her.
Rochelle.
Rochelle.
Oh, I'm not nothing over here. Just watching my son's hair grow.
We're cooking peanut butter bread today. Or baking.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called.
Peanut butter bread?
Yeah,
you might call it ordering it on Amazon.
No, listen, I am really trying. No, I told you last week, apparently I read an article that it's helping with the coronavirus, you know, stuck at home depression is this peanut butter bread. So I'm going to try it and see how happy I get.
Mail us some.
Speaking of getting happy, those who are working from home and have decided to go with the ultra casual route all the time, there are social psychologists say that clothing is an extension of the self, and that by getting dressed, meaning out of your pajamas and into your, you know,
your work sweats.
Yeah, your work sweats. No, your daily, as if you're dressing for the day, that it can actually shift your mindset and improve how you feel. I think that's legit.
It is essential for me to get dressed every day. And there's a point in time in the evening where I might get a little bit more comfortable, but I the notion of, maybe around the holidays I'll do it, but of staying in like pajamas and stuff like that. Not, and I know I envy people who can do that. I can't.
I think it's fun for a little while, and I do enjoy it. But it, like over the weekend, I usually would lounge for most of the day, and we're not going anywhere or doing anything. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get up, shower, I'm going to get dressed.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And I did it fairly early, and I was like, you know what? It was a really productive day. I ended up doing a lot.
It has to be. And I, yeah, when I get up, I have to take a shower. That's the flick-on switch to get going, you know? And then, obviously, the clothes. Obviously, you know, radio, we have to have an extensive wardrobe.
Of course.
I absolutely believe that, 100%. I think that it works, and it helps. However, I have not once done that. Not that I stay in pajamas all day. I don't. I get up. I do work out every day. I shower, but I go from pajamas to my work sweats to my workout yoga pants to then my evening sweats.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nice to stay comfortable all day, Kath. I'm a similar pattern except for the showering and the working out part, but the rest of it I'm doing the same as you. But there's a line, you guys know the movie My Blue Heaven, where Steve Martin's helping Rick Moranis sort of transform his life a little bit.
Right.
And he says something to the effect of, you know, if you want to be a better person, be a different person, sometimes you have to start on the outside and work your way in. And they change their clothes, and he starts dressing nicer and fancier. And it's true. Like, when you put on a new suit for the first time, or you're trying on a new outfit and you feel good about yourself, it transcends.
Hey, you know, it goes to that. The trappings sometimes are very effective in the way your mind responds. By the way, a quick question: has anyone tried the apps on their phone that will get measurements for you if you order clothing?
No.
You see them advertised all the time, and maybe Kathy, you know about this.
Yeah.
Where you set the phone at a certain distance, and it scans you, and it gets apparently incredibly accurate measurements. That's, you know, but there are a couple of different fairly successful companies that do this. Have you heard about this, Kathy?
Yes, I have heard about it, but I think you have to have an idea of what your size is for it to actually work. But
I heard it's more accurate, and that it just scans you. And the same device on your phone that you can use as a measuring device. If you run it across something, it'll tell you how. It's basically using that same technology.
I just like to wear loose clothing. That's basically what it boils down to.
This is up on the screen here in the studio. The most accurate body measuring solution for best fit clothing.
I would be very skeptical of that because I can pick up things like jeans.
Yeah.
And know my measurements and put them on and go, nah. These, no.
Because
there's different cuts and there's all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean?
Hey, Kathy, have you ever done like Rent the Runway?
No, you know what? I've never done that. I know a lot of people who have. My sister-in-law does it for almost every, you know, formal occasion that she has to go to, and she loves it.
Yeah, so what they'll do, Steve, is, I mean, they use, like, you know, like runway quality formal wear for women. Right.
Like pilot stuff?
Yes. No,
it's like
fashion
brand,
show stuff.
Oh, fashion runway.
It's name brand clothing that if you wouldn't necessarily be able to afford, they'll rent it to you for much less.
And what they'll do, I
know I would F it up if I were to rent it. I would spill something on it.
What they do is they, A, give you, I think, three sizes. The size you ordered, one up and one down. But then they also, when they are, when you're, like, ordering it, it's not just, like, perfect figured women wearing these clothes.
Right.
You know, you can pick your body type and shows you what they look like in whatever you're going to order.
Well, you know, it's funny. A friend of mine just developed an app. She actually released it yesterday, but she owns a bridal. And she, so now obviously people not really able to come in and try bridal gowns on. So this app allows them to take the dresses that they're looking at or that they like. You take a picture of yourself in front of like a white wall, just a solid wall, and it allows you virtually to try on the dress and see what the dress would look like on you. Huh. It's pretty cool.
I bet. So again, after all this is over, and we know it will be over, I think a lot of these things that are being implemented now will continue.
We'll continue. And by the way, if you are interested, the app is called Gownzy, and it's for anybody who's looking for wedding dresses.
So I have reached, I think, a new level of middle-aged daddiness yesterday. You see these sneakers that I'm wearing, Preston?
Yeah.
I love these so much that I went and I found them online and I bought two more pairs.
So, oh, yeah. I've done that.
You do?
I've done like two, three pairs of shoes that I know that I really, really like. And because sometimes they discontinue.
Well, these are like
styles.
These are like the 18 version. So they're up to 20 now. And
is
so
your foot size?
No. Like 2020. Uh-huh. So it's the same. They're running sneakers, even though I don't run.
He has snowshoes he can lace up.
The 2018 version, so A, they're cheaper, but B, I know that I like them.
No, and, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because actually these shoes that I have on I absolutely love, and I need to get a few. They're about shot. I need to get a couple.
Kathy, you make your own shoes, don't you? Like your ice cream cones.
Like your ice cream
cones. Yeah. By the way,
no, but I certainly know how to order them.
The idea behind getting dressed for the day is called, and I love this term, enclothed cognition.
Enclothed cognition. I love it.
A phenomenon in which clothes can put you in a different psychological state, so your outfit can affect you, how you think and behave.
It's like nocturnal emission.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will say, though, like, there's no way I could go through the entire day in pajamas. Like, I start to feel like, ugh, like... So even though I am still wearing sweatpants, like, I'm still getting up, getting changed, getting showered, you know.
I will tell you this. My default more often than not, and even I'm becoming one of those all year-round shorts guys, especially since we had a mild winter. I have a lot of pairs of like, hiking shorts and jogging shorts, and around the house, I'm mostly in shorts.
By the way, Kathy, about your daily wear, this text says, Kathy, do you go braless during the day at home asking for Casey?
Okay. No, absolutely not. That I think that's part of it. That's part of getting out of my pajamas. No, I would not walk around the house braless.
Besides, you tuck your smokes into your bra, right?
Right. Exactly.
I have read that a lot of women are dumping the bra since they don't really have to go out. Is it more comfortable without a bra on?
So not for me. I think, and I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think that the going braless thing is more comfortable for women who have smaller breasts.
Okay. And we all know
that
picture
is
on the beach.
Me.
That is not Kathy. Okay.
That's what set the coronavirus in motion.
It did. All right. I think we should take a break. A couple of reasons. I've got more Bizarre File stories that we need to get to. And we have an appointment with you winning $500, hopefully. It's MMR's Rock Refund, which we're going to get to at 10 a.m. So let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. B-File stories when we return. Please stay with us.
While we wait and wait for live concerts to return, MMR is raiding the video wing of the MM Archives to present MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. The best up-close and personal performances and interviews from the Preston and Steve studio.
Great song. It's a Struts on 93.3 WMMR.
This could have been bad.
Pierre presents from Ardmore Music Hall.
Tell them the name of the song.
Wish I Knew You. If you didn't know.
And Studio 4F.
Joining us in studio, Mr. Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
How you doing?
Updated twice weekly at WMMR.com and stream directly to the best seat in the house, your couch. MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Kathy, got a text from somebody that says, my name is Christine. I was listening to my husband and I. You guys were talking about the new app for trying on wedding gowns. A very close friend is getting married next year, and I've been trying to help the bride find ways of trying dresses on at home. I cannot find the app. Can you please help me? What was that?
Yeah, so it was called Gownsy. If you go to their Instagram page, it's Gownzie, and then you can navigate from there.
Okay. All right. And who's eating? What was that? A spoon? Background there, or is that your neck?
It's my my water bottle is metal, and so if the straw falls, it makes a clinking sound.
Okay.
Kathy, sure. Somebody texted me and said that I should eat a banana just for old time's sake and just do it right next to the microphone.
Thank you.
So maybe I'll do that for you tomorrow.
I actually wouldn't mind maybe a game we could do with household sounds.
Yeah.
With you guys in your homes and we try to identify what it is. We can maybe try something like that.
Yeah, shut off our FaceTime.
Yeah, we'll cover it up,
and you can get, and we'll guess.
Mm, think about that today.
Okay.
All right. We need to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Yeah! It is brought to you by Mulchworks of Aston. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil manufactured on site, along with leaf compost, decorative stone, pavers, and more. Mulchworks sells to residential and commercial markets with delivery and pickup available. Visit mulchthis.com to view all products or call their helpful staff to place an order. A Chinese captain of a cargo ship and his crew have pled guilty to attempted murder after throwing two terrified Tanzanian stowaways into shark-infested ocean waters over fears of catching the coronavirus from them.
Well, that was rude.
Well, they were nice enough to assemble a raft out of plywood and plastic drums and some rope.
All right.
And then they put the pair of stowaways aboard overboard near South Africa, all with the skipper. His name is Sui Rungli, watching. They gave him two bottles of water and a life jacket. The stowaways, Amiri Salmu and Hassani Rajabu, were instructed to make their way to land using their hands as paddles. The two men were given no food on the flimsy raft, which was dumped near the mouth of the Tugela River, where great whites, hammerheads, and tiger and bull sharks are known to hunt.
In a way, they kind of gave them an adventure they could talk about.
Mercifully, they did wash up on the Zinkwazi Beach 3 days later. They were found by horrified locals and were sent to the hospital after suffering from hypothermia, thirst, and hunger. The African Maritime Safety Agency impounded the MV Top Grace when it docked at Richards Bay. The captain was arrested. Yeah.
What?
Along with crew members, they did plead guilty. Listen, they really stuck it to them.
Yeah.
$5,000 fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Yep, that'll teach them a lesson. A dad pulled out his own tooth with a pair of pliers after being unable to get an emergency dentist appointment amid the coronavirus lockdown. He's in England. A guy named Billy Taylor spent an hour working the infected gnasher out with the help of his 11-year-old son.
Oof.
After the pain it was causing became excruciating. This reminded me of Castaway.
Yeah, remember with the
skate.
Got his knock his tooth out. He had tried to get into a dentist and even called their version of 911, but says he was told that he wouldn't be seen unless he was struggling to breathe. He said, I've had problems with that tooth for about 2 years and I've been to the dentist for it four times. They recapped it. I've had a root canal, but finally, over the weekend, it was getting worse and worse. The pain was excruciating. Then on Tuesday, after my face was swelling and I had a migraine on that side, I think it was an abscess. It really got bad that night, and the swelling was getting worse, and I was pretty wound up, and I thought, why don't I just do it myself? Well, he's an aircraft fitter by trade, so Billy had a selection of tools that he was thought they were capable of doing the job, settling on a pair of wire-twisting pliers.
Yeah, that'll work nicely.
He also did some research on YouTube and searched online about any possible complications before deciding to go ahead. He drank a couple shots of whiskey as sedative and asked his son Leo to keep watch in case he passed out. He said, I put the wire in the way that you floss.
Yeah.
And once that was on, it wasn't coming off.
Hmm.
Me and my lad ripped it out. He said it took about an hour.
About an hour? That's not bad.
The process was bloody painful. He said it was hideous. But
that's
a
commercial-free hour.
But he says, but I'm into motocross, so I can put up with a lot.
Sure, like ripping your tooth out over the course of an hour.
Like riding a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Billy
never forget.
Said his pain disappeared almost instantly after the tooth came out, but he added, I probably wouldn't recommend it unless you know what you're doing. You could crush the whole tooth. By the way, the tooth was huge with the big roots and everything. He showed a picture
of it. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we're looking at it. It looks like a lobster claw.
Yeah. He said the swelling was obviously serious. It was an infection which was spreading. It was puffing up. The British Dental Association warned this week that the ongoing coronavirus lockdown could move people to take drastic measures if their teeth are causing them pain.
And there's surgeries that are necessary that people aren't, and they're not contacting their doctor for emergency things they should be contacting them for.
Yep. A convicted con man who co-founded a Southern California church months after leaving prison has agreed to plead guilty to running a church-based investment scheme that bilked people out of $33 million.
Now before you judge it, yeah. I want you to ask yourself, was he ever advising good investments?
I don't know. Kent Whitney.
Where there's actual legitimate financial advice in what he was saying.
Kent Whitney agreed to plead guilty to mail fraud and filing false income tax return. He could face 23 years in federal prison. He was the pastor of a church called the Church for Healthy Self, run out of a strip mall until it was shut down last year after the Securities and Exchange Commission filed a complaint.
What kind of aircraft did he own?
And a judge froze the church's assets. The nonprofit was a virtual church, by the way.
COVID-19! Nonprofit, wink, wink.
That provided religious offerings online, but mainly served as an investment operation that targeted the Vietnamese community in Orange County. Mm-hmm. But he had scammed investors in the church up to $33 million by falsely claiming their money was safe and guaranteed.
And he was still in a strip mall?
And a high tax deductible return from investments in the reinsurance industry. Yeah, and he was in a strip mall. Unbelievable. I wasn't sure if this is really bizarre file worthy, but pretty cool nonetheless. A California man captured rare video of bioluminescent waves glowing bright blue as they crashed on the shore of a beach.
That's very cool.
Patrick Bayonne said a friend gave him the heads up that conditions indicated bioluminescent waves were possible at Newport Beach. And he ended up capturing the footage that night. The glowing was caused by bioluminescent algae in the water. I didn't see this particular video, but I've seen this type of thing before. It is so cool.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
We have a...
Oh, my God.
Woo!
Woo! Oh, wow. Woo! Yeah!
I miss that guy.
We have a coworker, Lauren, who recently got married before this pandemic struck, and she and her husband were in Jamaica for their honeymoon, and they went and saw
the bioluminescent pool.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. They said it was sketchy getting there, but once they were there, it was badass.
It is wild. You go through, and as the boat is going through the water, it lights up, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. A 42-year-old man in Connecticut was arrested for breaking into a restaurant that was closed due to the coronavirus pandemic and allegedly spent 4 days eating and drinking while he was there. New Haven police say that Louis Ortiz stole and consumed several $1,000s worth of food and drinks, including 70 bottles of liquor.
Wow.
I don't know how he got away with that.
He just ordered it.
This happened in the Sol de Cuba Cafe restaurant. Ortiz was caught when a manager visiting the restaurant for a routine check found him asleep inside and contacted police. Security camera footage showed Ortiz got into the restaurant through a side window 4 days earlier.
Don't wake him. He's so adorable.
He was arrested and faces several charges, including burglary and criminal mischief. But 4 days worth of just eating and drinking.
What a tab.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. So, you know what? We got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Until we're going to get to our special word that could be worth $500 for you.
500 smackers.
So we'll take a moment to just chill out. You know, we have a couple pieces of audio that we could play.
Yeah, why not?
And I was going to get to this in music news, but we can go ahead and play this now. This is really cool. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day has been doing his No Fun Mondays.
Yeah.
And he has been covering songs and releasing them on Monday. And we've had a couple of good ones. We had Manic Monday, which he did with Suzanne Hoff.
Solid. Started off with, what was it?
I Think We're Alone Now.
Which is great.
And then there was a punk anthem that I did not know. It was a song, I believe, from a San Francisco band. Right. I'm not sure. But this one you'll know. This is really cool. He did a cover of That Thing You Do. And it was in honor of Adam Schlesinger, who, of course, wrote the song, passed away recently.
Fountains of Wayne.
And they had the reunion of the band members, the Wonders, the other night, which was so much fun. But I love this cover. This is great. So I want to play a little bit of it for you.
Never even know about the law.
love it. There's something about his voice, man. It's just great. It's not, you know, we go, wow, that guy's a great vocalist, really doing all kind of soulful things with his voice. But there's something about the tone of his voice.
It's malleable.
It's great. Love it. I love it. That's cool. He's going to keep doing that for the time being. And he's doing this all by himself, I assume. I don't know.
Is he doing all of the music?
I have yet to hear specifically if he's doing all the instrumentation, if he's playing the drums and everything, or if he's, you know, he can clearly get somebody else to do that and send the information over and he runs through Pro Tools or whatever they're going to do. But he might, knowing him, he's probably doing all of it. You can tell he's doing the backup vocals, but I think it's a really cool version of that song, so... Nice. All right. It is... Case, can you switch those so we can do our MMR Rock Refund and fire this thing up? Because I know we have people that want to win some money.
Yes.
So let's make that dream come true.
93.3 WMMR. Now, your Rock Refund keyword.
It is RISE. R-I-S-E. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. And there are three ways that you can do that. You can do it with our text. Special contest shortcut code number for you to text the word RISE to. That number is 45911. So text that over. Or if you're interested in winning $10,000 in our grand prize, you'll be automatically entered for it if you enter the word RISE to the MMR mobile app. We're at WMMR.com. One random entry is going to win $500 in our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from our company, Beasley. So be sure you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It's sponsored by A&T Subaru and Chevy in Sellersville. And you got until a quarter after the hour. The word is RISE, R-I-S-E. Enter it now. Good luck to you. We'll take a break and be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have a fairly decent-looking day today. It's a little bit... What's the word I'm looking for? Evasive, I guess, because later on we're going to have showers around 11, 12 o'clock. Thunderstorms. It's going to get a little bit heavy from what I understand. So just letting you know, enjoy the next hour or two while you can, because supposedly that stuff is making its way in. I would like to, however, give some stuff away. We have a lesson question, and we are going to give a $60 Metro Diner gift card to the person that can answer this question correctly. What letter did we find out you spell the name Bambi with? 215-263-WMMR. This morning we found out that there's a letter that you used to spell the name Bambi that we did not know before. Do you know the answer to that question? Were you listening? If the answer is yes to that, you should call now and let us know. 215-263-WMMR. While you're doing that, we'll do this.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get into it, Steve.
All right.
What you got?
Miley Cyrus posted a message yesterday on 420 to all of her followers that she would not be smoking pot because she has quit. Cyrus made it clear she was not being critical of those who continue to indulge, explaining that cannabis no longer provides the effect she now gets from huffing paint. Due to delays from the pandemic, the Batman's release date has been changed from June 25th, 2021 to October 1st, 2021. Throughout the history of mankind, a history replete with war, genocide, plagues, and unspeakable acts of horror, this is absolutely the worst news that has ever been imported.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Chris Hemsworth explaining in a recent interview why he and his wife, Elsa Pataky, have chosen to live in Australia instead of Hollywood. Hemsworth said he decided long ago that he prefers his slimy snakes without lip injections.
Oh, geez.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to today's lesson question. What letter did we find out you spell the name Bambi with? 215-263-WMMR. It's Dan. We're going to go to... Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, yeah. Man. All right, so do me a favor and tell me what letter you spell Bambi with.
Bambi is somehow spelled with an L.
That's correct. An L. Hang on a second, Dan. We are going to set you up with a $60 Metro Diner gift card. Metro Diner is offering family value combos available for pickup that feed families of 4 to 6 for only $9 a person. Combos include a pulled pork sandwich kit, chicken tenders, fried chicken, and Iron City meatloaf, all served with 2 sides, a garden salad, and fresh baked cookies. Yeah. For more information, visit MetroDiner.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Hey! All right. Music News brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer Lumber. All locations remain open to provide your building material and hardware needs and are focused on customer and staff safety. Call or email ahead for curbside pickup or delivery. You can find them at admoyer.com. Foo Fighters Classic. Times like these will be the focus of a new charity single organized by England's BBC.
Ah.
Artists including Coldplay's Chris Martin, Bastille, Youngblood, Royal Blood, Dua Lipa, and Haley Steinfeld are among 23 musicians uniting to perform a cover of the 2002 hit to raise money for a charity. Hang on a second.
Wait, what?
Is Haley Steinfeld...
musician.
Is she...
British?
British.
No.
I didn't think so.
No, she is not.
All right. An accompanying video will world premiere during BBC One's 3-hour fundraising event, The Big Night In, which is this Thursday. They also released the song as a single. With UK net profits combined with any funds raised by The Big Night In and split equally between BBC Children in Need and Comic Relief. Meanwhile, international net profits from the single will go towards the World Health Organization's COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund. The BBC's Big Night In will take place just days after Global Citizen's virtual concert One World Together at Home raised $128 million for healthcare workers and coronavirus relief. Toni Cornell, daughter of Soundgarden singer Chris Cornell, unveiled a cover of Temple of the Dog's Hunger Strike for coronavirus relief during Live X Live's Music Lives Digital Music Festival on Sunday. I know.
It's interesting. I love that song. I'd be curious to hear her version.
She said in the introduction of the song, "I'm going to sing one of my favorite songs for you guys. I love you, Daddy, and I hope I do this some justice." The 15-year-old wrote on Instagram, "Sitting in my dad's home studio during this crazy time makes me miss him even more. Music is the greatest healer and the most powerful way to bring people together, especially during tragedy. If my dad were here, I know he would have been the first to donate his time and effort." She also revealed that she and her family are donating $50,000 to Music Cares COVID-19 relief efforts on behalf of the Chris and Vicky Cornell Foundation. Queen and Adam Lambert are the latest rockers to perform for fans while in self-quarantine. Roger Taylor, Brian May, and Lambert performed a stripped-down trio version of 1977's We Are the Champions and uploaded it to Brian May's social media platforms. They changed the lyrics just a little bit on the chorus, so let's listen to that. Here we go.
Cause you
Did they do it? Did they do it like Stones, like where they were all in separate locations?
That I didn't see. I just heard the audio. Yeah. I wish they had it covered Homer Simpson's version. I am the champions.
I am the champions. Different message. Different message. Still, just as inspiring. Puddle of Mud frontman Wes Scantlin has.
I am the champion. I am the champion. No time for losers, 'cause I am the champion of the world.
It's good too.
I got chills.
Yeah.
Puddle of Mud frontman Wes Scantlin has fired back at critics after his band's cover version of Nirvana's classic. About a girl went viral. He posted a message on social media in an apparent response to negative internet chatter over their rendition, which detractors blasted for Scantlin's off-key singing. And he wrote, "Rise above others who try and take you down. I am at my best now, and that's all that matters. I pray for all of you because we care. Jealousy is toxic, and toxic people are a waste of time."
Well, that sounds like someone who has a handle on things.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Him a couple of years ago.
He would have burned their houses down.
Yeah. Tool drummer Danny Carey revealed on Thursday that he hopes to get together soon with guitarist Adam Jones, bassist Justin Chancellor, to begin working on music for a new EP. He sprang the news during a bass and drum webinar. We talked about that thing happening last Thursday that was presented at the Berklee School of Music, which also featured Chancellor plus members of Korn and other acts. When asked about current projects, he said, "I'm hoping during this downtime, as soon as we're able, maybe we'll all get together, Justin and I and Adam, and maybe start hashing out some new Tool stuff in the meantime. Maybe write another EP since we're down and we can't do anything else." Of course, it took 13 years to complete.
I know.
And release the last album. So if they did indeed do that, Tool's fan base would freak out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like, well, now the gates are open and they're finally back into a creative mode.
Yep. One last story. My Chemical Romance is selling face masks originally intended for a concert in the desert, with all proceeds going to help music workers currently in need. The band slated, "We have these masks made to keep you dust-free in the desert. A show that never happened, never will. A protection that then seemed time-worn." The money will go to road crew members, sound engineers, drivers, tour managers, and many others who work is currently on hold.
They are the champions.
They are the champions.
I am the champion.
All right, and that is what I have in music news for you. All right, we have one more break to take, so let's do it. Come back in a second. Letter of the day, word of the week prize. We'll get to that, and we'll see what wonderful entertainment Pierre Robert has in store for you next. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Killers on 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. What does the end of that song remind me of? I think I said it on the air the other day.
Oh, Sherry?
And I can't remember. A little bit. It sounds like the beginning.
Yeah, right?
Of Oh, Sherry.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding.
Oh, no.
Remember that video?
Yeah. Oh my! Yo, him in the—it's him in the stairwell, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but at the beginning of it, they're shooting a video, and he's supposed to be this prince, and there's a court, and they're bowing before him, and he stops, and he's like, "This is stupid. I can't do this. It's a dumb idea." There's a little thing that
happens too much,
beforehand, and they stop, and he leaves, and they're looking for him, and they can't find him, and he's in the stairwell, and all of a sudden he just starts going, "Should have been gone! I should have been gone! No, in hell!" He's in the stairwell. There's a lot of reverb.
"I should have been gone!"
I like those music videos that would have a little prelude, a little act in the beginning of it.
Like Bad.
Bad.
You ain't bad. You ain't nothing.
Yeah. That's right.
You Wesley Snipes.
I know, but we're acting, dummy.
God, there were a bunch of videos. You know what? We'll have to.
Yeah.
We'll have to discuss that soon. Ones that had had little vignettes before they began.
I should have been gone!
Bad.
You ain't bad. You ain't nothing.
Yeah, I will cut you up.
What a Weird Al's best parodies, by
it's
the way.
It's excellent.
Was Fat.
But they're going,
yeah. Ho! And he goes, hoe, and he holds up a hoe. We could go all day about
this. Oh, my God, yeah.
Anyhow, Killers, that is a great song. I really do love that, too.
Very inspiring. I find a lot of the Killers music very, in these uncertain times,
uncertain times.
I turn to the music of the Killers.
It is 10:33. That I am certain of. That is a certain time.
It's 10:30.
Yeah, that is a certain time, not an uncertain time.
Normally, when every day is completely certain, these are uncertain times.
So I would like to thank Ed Begley Jr. for being on, telling us about Earth Day, which is tomorrow, by the way, the 50th year.
Yes.
Earth Day has been around. It's a cool thing.
And the Earth has been around longer, though.
A little bit longer than that. Isolation Idol. I want to thank our contestants.
And, home runs.
Yes, we had two people move on. We had David St. James and Audra McLaughlin. And they are headed to the final round on Friday. We'll have six fresh faces and voices or sounds to bring to you. And you'll have to bear with us because we're doing this in lieu of being able to bring people here to the studio.
Yes.
And we're kind of doing it the way live entertainment is being done right now via online and
phones. We did it first. We have reinvented the entire entertainment industry, and everyone is turning to us for tips on what to do. Look what American Idol itself is doing.
Yeah,
I know how the conversation went down. What is PNS doing?
Well,
how are they making this work, and how can we emulate them?
They delayed the top 20 America votes for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
why do you
us.
Think they did that?
Absolutely. Look at ESPN tried to pull off what we did with the horse game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible nightmare.
Yep.
There's some really talented people out there, but tomorrow, guys, there are two contestants in particular that I'm really looking forward to you guys hearing. And,
all right.
And I won't say anything more, but it's going to be a fun day tomorrow as well.
By the way, this if people aren't aware, we have no idea until we hear.
Yeah.
Nick is the only one, and Marissa have curated them. So, and Marissa's doing a phenomenal job. They're getting the tech on this working.
Nick, are these the two that you were telling me I'm going to love?
Yes. These ones Kathy will actually like.
Oh, okay. So one is drinking wine while they're performing.
Mm-hmm. Another one is making succulents.
Making, yes, arts and crafts at Floral and Hardy.
Which, by the way, and I know some people, were texting like, this doesn't sound good and so on and so forth, but it's the way that it is. And I'm enjoying this creativity and this different take on a talent search.
It's hard to pull it off. I mean, and I think it's all things considered. Oh, my God. Oh,
what? Is Steve Perry here?
Huh? He's coming.
Is it? God.
I hear it.
Let it get down to the end here.
Okay, hold on. I'm already. Okay.
What's the lyric?
Should be gone.
I shoot an egg on! No! You feel!
I made you feel.
I made you feel! I shoot an egg on!
Dude, pitch perfect.
Thank you. Haunting.
Pitch perfect. Wow.
I should have made it! No!
So he's saying...
That's got a little Stallone in it, actually. Just a tiny bit.
Oh, thank God.
That ain't you.
That ain't you, Terry.
All right, so
that ain't you.
What does he say? Oh. He says you should have been gone.
Knowing how I made you feel, and I should have been. Made you feel, and it should have been gone.
Ten,
after all your words of steel.
Okay. Because
what did you think it was?
Like going Harlock.
You should have been Harlock, cranking on the golden wheels.
Going Harlock.
What gibberish did you just say?
It should have been gone. But it turns out you were in a Harlock. Whoa, going Harlock.
What's a Harlock?
I don't know. You were a car can be.
Go on, Harlock.
Going Harlock.
Yeah, you know, I'm going Harlock, guys.
Oh, totally going Harlock on this chick.
Oh,
I will listen. I will have to think of other lyrics because I know there's the old standard misheard lyrics and you know,
right. Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah, there's a list
of website.
Yeah, but there are ones that I have thought of, Casey, as just a gibberish word, and yeah. I've used it for forever.
Yeah,
and it's a word that's not English. It's whatever it is. What is it, Nick?
What's the police song Driven to Tears, but I always heard it, and the title of the song is Driven to Tears, but I always heard Driven Tutsia.
Driven yeah. Tutsia.
Well, Driven Tutsia.
We talked tutia. About Eddie Vedder, and even Vedder himself God. Has said that the a lot of times the lyrics serve as another instrument as opposed to, you know.
Going well, Harlock.
Listen, yeah. I had...
Going Harlock.
I
did. You today, God!
Going
Harlock is blue, but you could have been a fleamer.
Fleamer.
Like, Dilly Bilotti was not mine. I right. always thought it was Dearly Beloved. And then my friend, Mike Leptowski, he's like, no, man, it's Dilly Bilotti.
Dilly Bilotti.
And I was like, okay, I believe
this
you.
This guy seems to know.
Dilly Bilotti.
Going Harlock. Come on.
Yo, man. Yo, he's going Harlock, guys.
Oh, I know one. Okay, so, and I think I've said this before. That was a big snort right there. Do you remember the song, I Believe in Miracles?
Yes. Where are you from?
The sex thing. So I was a kid, and I thought it was, I Believe in Milk Holes.
Okay, so you want to know what I thought it was?
What?
I Believe in Mail Call.
I Believe like in Mail Call.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
What's a milk hole? It's like a Harlock.
Yeah. Like a is a Sarlacc is the thing in the desert, right?
Sarlacc in the desert. So,
what was
that?
Macy?
But it's got to be. Oh, but that's
I wear goggles
when you're not near. But those are words, and I guess milk hole is words too. But Harlock. Going Harlock. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not
just listen
up
to
on
it. Well, I think
seven
we have.
Goal!
Hang on.
No, and how I made you.
No,
I don't hear
how right, I. But you hear no and how I?
Yeah.
No, and how I
yep.
made you feel.
Hey, you could have thought I said Harlock.
Whoa, could you really be that stupid? Oh, after all your words of steel.
I do. This is a guilty pleasure song.
Yeah.
He's got such a great voice. He actually recorded, we had audio, but I don't know if he still have it, but he recorded a version of In My Room, the Beach Boys song, from his bedroom. And it was sort of
Steve Perry did?
Steve Perry did. Do
oh,
we still
yeah,
have that?
Yeah,
is that
yeah,
over?
Yeah. That was from yesterday, right?
A couple days ago.
I did not listen
oh,
to
yep,
it.
Here it
yeah.
is.
Okay.
This old world where I can
I do like this song.
Tell my secrets to
in my Harlock
in my room in my room.
That guy's got a beautiful voice, man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In this world I look out on worries and my fears.
What are you doing?
It got weird.
It did get weird. It was. It was.
In my
All right. See the calls are coming in. I thought it was bathroom on the right, not Bad Moon Rising. Yeah, those are actual words. It's ones that
like
are just
gibberish words.
Like
you could assume.
Going Harlock.
Hey, going's a word.
Going Harlock. There's no Harlock.
All right. We need to do the letter of the day.
I can do it.
No, you can't because I can't. If I push this button, it goes like that. So we need to do the next one. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
The letter! I was going to... All right, O! As in O-range.
All right, O. Okay. We have $300 whatacrock.com gift card.
I got to get to there. Their food is awesome.
Whatacrockmeals.com delivers meals right to your door. Toss one of their chef-created meals into the slow cooker, and in the morning, you'll have it. Well, you do that in the morning, then you'll have it for dinner that night. Order one meal or a week's worth, and you can check out their menu at whatacrockmeals.com. So we'll give that away on Friday.
Do they still have the buffalo chicken dip?
Oh, yeah.
God, that's what they do.
Buffalo chicken dip, also the buffalo chicken mac and cheese.
Yee-hoo.
Want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme. You can now enjoy the convenience of ordering your groceries online. Have them ready for pickup at times convenient for you. They brought right to your car. Order online at shop.acmemarkets.com. Also brought to you by the PLCB. Talk with your kids about alcohol early and often. Go to knowwhennohow.org. Pierre Robert is in next. What is coming up, sir?
We've got blocks of Chris Cornell, The Cure, and also Aerosmith, and it's Double Shot Tuesday.
Yay!
I love it. I love it. Tomorrow on our program, Fox Good Day, Isolation Idol. We got a bunch of stuff to give away, so we'll get on that as well. That's
awesome.
It. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Oh, wow, 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 traffic. Oh, wow, 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 you cut me off. Oh, wow, 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 drive faster. Now you're all stuck at home. What do you got to say now?
Next message.
I just want to give the biggest shout out to the entirety of the Preston Steve Show. You guys are practically the only thing currently in my life that is keeping me sane and happy. Whenever I hear Preston's voice or whenever I hear Steve do his impression, my mood goes up by leaps and bounds, and you guys are just the best. Have a nice day and stay safe.
Next message.
You ever want to just say to that voice in your head, oh, shut the f*** up?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.